Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 218.
No one even did anything.
No, I looked over at Adam and he's creepily peering over his previews. Yeah. So, I just was not prepared for that. Well, it was kind of creepy.
You need to be prepared for
anything.
He's giving
you the eyes.
You're right, I need to be prepared for anything.
As host of this podcast.
Yeah. You've done this 218 times, you would think by now.
I should know not to look at Adam.
Yeah,
you're right.
Or anybody, really. Because anytime you look at anybody,
well, I just happened to look over, and you had a weird.
Just don't look at anybody.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
and again, everyone is welcome. So if you ever want to come,
except that one guy, you're not welcome. You know who you are.
But if you want to come,
I think there's a couple guys like that.
But if you want to come down and talk comics, please. We're here Wednesday nights. Normally start about 7:30. A little late tonight.
We don't normally start at 7:30.
Well, I want to.
We normally start at 8 o'clock. Okay. What you want and what we normally do are two completely different things.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I had such high hopes for this podcast. No.
Why? You're not telling lies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, new voices are always good.
The current voices
suck. So should we all talk like this today? Just say this.
Oh, man, and you wonder why I talk about cracking all the time.
Quiet, Dave. How about that Pee-wee Herman? Huh?
Yeah, let's go do that voice. Colin?
Pat, was there any news this week?
Oh, no, I'm not saving you today.
Back to this. So, Colin.
Do you want to reset?
No.
We're going. No, there. A couple small things. Willem Dafoe was cast in the Justice League movie.
Somebody.
He's
playing
Green Goblin. Green Goblin.
Yeah, there's Green Goblin.
DC is secretly making a Spider-Man movie.
That'd be awesome. DC is like, we actually made a deal with Sony to incorporate Spider-Man.
Marvel going, but.
Well, we retain creative control. Yeah. That would be awesome, actually.
So funny.
Batman goes A under Ruse, Spider-Man.
Same thing happened.
And the other thing I got, like I say, a big week as far as I can tell, was that Dark Knight 3 number 6 got pushed back to August. Which,
yeah, it was kind of funny because I remember back in September as we were ordering this and we were kind of promised, no, it's going to be 8 issues in 9 months. We already have a one-month gap planned, and that was going to be the last Crusade issue.
Right.
So, yeah. But that was one thing that annoyed me with, I was seeing it on Newsarama and Bleeding Cool. Just in the sense of not understanding a situation and taking it to the extreme, where they both reported that Dark Knight 6 had been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't canceled. The issue has been canceled and will be resolicited. But they all report, in the headline was, Dark Knight Master Race canceled. And I'm like,
it would take Frank Miller and Azzarello being murdered for DC to cancel the book.
Right, but just by saying that, and then you in the comments, oh, I knew they couldn't do it, you know, they give up on everything. And it's just like, Rich Johnson knows exactly what the situation is, yet the anti-DC media.
Marvel's never shipped anything late.
Yeah.
Rich Johnson is not anti-DC. He is pro-clicks.
Right. No. I get that.
He will do whatever will
But it just, I mean, it was false. You know, what he said was basically misleading. So I just, I hate that. It's like,
but I've listened to podcasts where he is, you know, defended DC strongly. Like the Off-Panel podcast, he defended DC then and called out Marvel.
Yeah.
There was a Rich Johnson. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did listen to it. But
it was right around the diamond.
The fun thing about DC is, I mean, Marvel, I mean, like, I'm still ordering Powers, whatever the next issue is, from, like, 2013 at this point. We're still ordering Scarlet and Brilliant, having to adjust our numbers. So they never cancel. They just keep us waiting. So at least with this, DC is saying, yeah, we're canceling these orders. Order again. We'll solicit it again.
That kind of works out well for you anyway, though, doesn't it?
What?
You can adjust numbers a little bit different based on
I can always adjust up till 3 weeks before it ships, so that's not a big deal. But yeah, I when I saw those headlines, I'm like, no. Or like he always does advanced reorders, and it's like something dominates the charts. It's like, well, yeah, because it wasn't offered before. So it's not like people increase their numbers saying we want more. It's just like there was a there's a book next week. It's a Steranko cover on the Avengers standoff Omega.
Okay.
And it's like, well, that dominated the reorder charts. Well, yeah, because it hadn't been offered again until reorders. So any, you know, on that, let's say there were 500 copies ordered, which isn't really that big a deal, but as opposed to how many extra copies of all these other books were ordered based, you know, above and beyond the initial order. So just a lot of things you just kind of want to say, no, please, come on, people. But, okay. But yeah, it's late. It's, you know what? And yeah, it sucks that it's late, but I still think it's really good.
No, the quality's been good, but that's...
Yeah.
You know, if you say, hey, we got a built-in skip month,
and I saw that...
That's kind of a long wait.
No, no. And I think, I'm sure DC is sitting there going, crap. You know, we had high hopes.
And we're not that many issues in.
No. And
at least it's on a book that the rest of the DC line depends on, though.
Absolutely.
And that's a good point.
And, like, that last Crusade was supposed to ship in February, and that got kicked to June. So, yeah. I mean, it's not good. It's not good for anybody, but it's not affecting anything else.
Nope. Just Rebirth will affect everything else.
Yeah, but not that book.
Rebirth.
That we know of.
Afterbirth.
Hey, oh, God. See a lot of those comments. It's like, really? So, all new, all different, now, you know. I wonder what the next one for Marvel's going to be.
Right now. I can't think of something ridiculous.
We had Marvel Now.
Sometime in the near future.
We had Now, all new
Marvel
Now.
Marvel Next.
All new, all different.
We've had Marvel Next.
Something's going to be coming after Civil War. They just had their creative plan for it. So. But yeah, they just side news. They just announced, you know, they're
all new, not as different.
They're all talking about finishing
next
up
now. they're going to follow the naming scheme from the Friday movies.
Yeah, that's Marvel After Next.
Yeah,
that's good. As long as it's not Land Before Time or something. Just like, they're all
Devil Dinosaur.
That one would work with.
Yeah.
What else you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Previews orders are due next week.
That's fast.
Well, it's fast
that's
because
we
of
just
this.
Got this.
Yeah, we just got the DC part, but we got the
this
other
month
one.
Feels like it's gone by fast, though, to me.
Yeah, well, it's only the 20th, so we still, I mean, there's still a third of the month to go, so it's not gone by yet. But.
Probably because, for me, like it at work, the semester's wrapping up, so it gets busy.
But it's due, the 28th. So please let me know. But a big thing is this DC thing. Now, it's certainly not urgent that you let me know right now anything you want. I realize we've only had the DC things for a week. So like somebody was asking about that. I said, no, as long as, you know, let me know before June. I said the one benefit with DC doing this is that all the books are returnable. So I will order a little higher.
All of them or just the Rebirth books?
The Rebirth books, yeah. Okay. Not the regular ones, but the Rebirth ones. That's more... I'm not worried about people ordering Justice League 50. You know, that's not going to change that much. That one I am going to order a little higher because of the whole Joker thing. And I heard a really interesting possibility yesterday of who the Joker
is. Yeah,
that
was interesting.
I thought that was very interesting. Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Well, is your possibility founded in any sort of fact?
No, it was founded by a customer saying it that was based on chatter on... talk rooms or chat rooms. So there's no forums. Basis on it. But it's, forums, yes.
It's like clickbait. So yeah, that's fine.
Right.
That's
fine, yeah. Okay. Jason Todd's dad.
Yeah. That was interesting.
I'm like, that is... Because I'm like, who could they possibly name him as that would have any effect. Importance or effect on anything? That actually could. That would be kind of...
Yeah, that'd be kind of really...
That would be really... Yeah. Put Jason Todd in a whole new light spin. You know, that there's ways they could make that into storylines. Whereas just if it's, oh, his name is Bill Smithers, you know, who cares?
You know. Smithers?
I still like the idea of them revealing.
I don't I think see there's a reason for it. But that one did, when they said that, I was kind of like, or when the guy said that, I was kind of like.
Well, you mentioned the point of it. him being a Red Hood and then, you know, Joker becoming a Red Hood.
Yeah. After. So it was just, that was just, I thought that was kind of, because he was buying the new, the last Red Hood and the Outlaws because it made reference, some sort of vague reference to it.
Mm.
So we'll find out.
So I thought that was interesting. But, like, I just gave out the DC previews just came in last week. I had the little flyer in them. If there is anything you want, I mean, obviously, let me know sooner than later, as soon as you know what you want, only because it does help my ordering. But, yeah, the Rebirth books, I think it's the first 3 months, so depending on how they ship, will be returnable. Like, I was telling a customer, well, it's not like I can order 500 of each, and then, you know, because I still have to pay for them up front, and then return them, you know, 6 months later and get credit, so. Well,
you could, but that wouldn't be smart.
Yeah, the doors would close quickly. But, you know, I'll base it on my pre-orders and, you know, previous sales, you know, Batman number, I'm not going to really change.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bump it a little bit from where it is. I'm certainly not going to order less than I have been. I mean, there is the concern with Tom King versus Snyder and stuff, but I think most of the people that have been getting Batman are probably going to want to stick with it, at least through the first one, to see how it is.
Anyone that's reading anything by King,
Tom King is a really good writer.
He's solid.
But, yeah, so please let me know about that. And, you know, let me know about the Marvel stuff. You know, June seems far away, but it's really not that far away now that I think about it. Because for the first week of DC, of the Rebirth books, we're probably going to have our final orders in. It'll be the second week of May. So,
well, for Rebirth, the FOC for that is...
Well, that is there is 28. No FOC. Right. Yeah. Well, it's the day that it's due, only because that's shipping on May 25th. So that's 3 weeks out. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm not worried. I'm ordering that one like a Free Comic Book Day book, so there will be plenty, and there will be plenty going forward. They did announce at the road shows that if they do a second print, it's going to be $5.99 versus $2.99. So,
wow.
Well, it's an 80-page book, and that's really more in line with
the
pricing. So I think they're also trying to encourage retailers to order
more
up front. I think they have a lot of faith in this book. I can't wait to read it, you know, because it's going to, you know, kicking off everything and setting everything. So I think, you know, it's the book, you know, everybody's going to want to read, no matter what book you want to, you're interested in, something
in
Rebirth is going to spin, it's going to spin out of.
Will you read it aloud to all of us, the midnight release?
If you'd like, sure. We can do it.
Any other voices?
Dramatic reenactment? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're mean.
I mean,
yeah. Why does that mean?
Because you make fun of me when I do other readings. So,
we make fun of you for everything, though.
Really?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Comic Previews Theater. You never mocked me for that ever. Would you like me to go back on the tape?
Right now, I didn't, and the tape is erased.
Okay.
And earlier, I even asked a question through the podcast.
I know you did. Did you like my response? I liked that. Thanks for asking. We always strive to get. Yeah.
Which works now. Podcast question submission works. The update fixed
it. There you go. So previous orders due, but don't panic if you don't get them in right now. But somebody asked how many people we'd signed up. I forgot to look. Roughly 10, 12.
That's it?
So far. It's only been a week.
Still.
It's only been a week.
Two of them are sitting at the table at a minimum.
Did you sign up?
No, he did not.
To read them all?
No.
No. Gotta catch
them all. He'll say he'll never do that again after Convergence.
Yeah.
Convergence was different.
That's what I said.
I just want the ones I'm
getting. But, one other thing I did want to say. If you are getting a book, I will continue you over unless you tell me you don't want it.
Oh.
So you don't have to worry. Well,
we have to make sure we tell them which ones we don't want.
Yeah, well, I see. I don't know about that because, like, Moon Knight, I didn't get the new Moon Knight book.
Why not?
That didn't carry
over. I give you a hard time?
You know what? I didn't carry that over just because it was such a total creative change that... I forgot
to do it. Okay. I get those.
But I already had...
Tim
did it.
He is a mentally disturbed character.
That's why I said I get
them. I had Tim on Monday going through and moving,
I get them too.
Moving everybody over for all the Rebirth books that are in this book. And he said that was the most mind-numbingly boring thing he'd ever done in his life. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, we could find something.
Well, that's why I had you do it on a Monday when you had 4 transactions in 5 hours. So I figured that was a better use of his time.
Does he work here Sundays and Mondays now?
Yeah.
Is that permanent or just until your brother-in-law is...
Oh, no. That's permanent for Tim. Yeah. Dan was just helping out, but...
I didn't know. I thought Dan needed a side job for a little while there, so I thought he was...
No, he was just doing it to do something, but then I... like I said, I got scared when all of a sudden he said, I just applied for 8 jobs today. It's like, oh, crap. You know, he could get a job tomorrow, and all of a sudden I'm scrambling. And he understood. He was just helping out. And then the whole health thing, yada, yada. But, so yeah, let me know if you, these, the preview books, you know, if there's anything in there you want. We can go through them. The, our question this week was from James out in Harrisburg, and it was, what of these, well, I forget, what was the exact wording, but what, after reading the book, are there books here that you were interested in that you weren't interested in before?
Oh, I forget that.
More excited about, less excited about something, use that word.
Talking while I'm looking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what? I feel really dumb. I honestly really haven't looked through this yet.
I'm doing 218 of these?
No, well, no. But I haven't truly, I mean, I probably flipped through it once. Well, actually, I read it all on digitally first and was intrigued by most of it. And it's a lot of it's becoming a lot clearer. So here was the question, was did the previews book increase slash decrease your interest in any of the June DC Rebirth books? So, and you know what? I feel bad. This is the stuff I've been meaning to read that I have not read yet.
Same thing. That's what I'm reading right now.
Just the first half with all the articles and everything is just, it's one of those, sadly, I get home and...
We know you don't read it for the articles.
That was pretty good. You have to get up.
I'll give you credit for that. Just going from the announcements, I was pretty much interested in everything. But here's like a little thing where it's hard to put it over. Green Lanterns. Well, I'm not going to carry, if you're getting Green Lantern, I probably won't carry you over to Green Lanterns. I'd carry you over to Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns.
But if you got Green Lantern,
if you're getting
Lantern
Green
Core.
Lantern Core, I'd be more apt to carry you into that. Green Arrow, Wonder Woman. You know, most of these are fine. Wacky Raceland. If you're... You know, but then, like, Titans is a question. It's like, if you were getting Teen Titans,
Mad Max,
well, it's not really the same. Titans Hunt?
Titans
I'd carry
Hunt
over
carries
you.
Over to
yeah.
me, yeah.
So,
the Flash transitions. That's kind of neat.
What they
like
wanted...
The Flash is they specifically tell you not to read that until you've read Rebirth.
Right.
Yeah.
But none of the other ones
there's
say
like
that.
Two or three that say that.
Were there? I only caught that one.
But the question was if...
Are you more or less any interested?
I don't think
anything?
I'm less interested. I think this probably reinforced my interest in it.
Except for the ones that he doesn't want.
The only one that interested me more after reading the previews thing, and I'm still probably not going to get it because I don't care for the writer, but the description made it more interesting, is Red Hood and the Outlaws.
You love Scott Lobdell.
No, but the description is it's Red Hood... It is Artemis
and
Bizarro. So it's like a weird twist on
the
Trinity.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
And I kind of thought the same thing, too. I'm wondering, you know, are they going to make Bizarro more the goofy comedy
I
character?
I doubt it, no. I
gonna,
think that was a
Or is it
going to
be more of
the...
Well, no, I get that. Or is he going to be like B-Zero from Forever Evil, where he was, you know, really just like not
right? I think
he's
going to be like their Hulk. Like, Avengers had a Hulk.
Yeah.
I think that's basically what he's going to
do. Could be.
But I'm looking forward to reading the Rebirth issue. I'm going to get that.
That I'm really excited for. I want to know with the hand.
Not the main Rebirth issue.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Red and the Outlaws. Red Hood Rebirth issue. Because some of us are committed, Adam.
I'm not totally going to get, because...
We've never regretted doing something like this before.
There's going to be certain ones that I'm going to add to my list that I or go back to, even like Wonder Woman.
Well, that's like, you know, I'm going to try.
Josh,
somehow.
Can we get you on the new Wonder Woman?
You can sign me up right now for that book. It sounds interesting as hell. Rucka is a great writer, and both the artists he has on it are fantastic too.
I love the covers.
Yeah. I'll try a lot of these on the number ones, and if I like them, I'll continue. If I don't, that's okay too. You know, Colin's giving me options because of this special deal.
Some books I will transition into, like Super Sons. Seems like it's basically the Robin book. It's just going.
I don't know if I'd carry over everybody from Robin.
I wouldn't see you doing that either. But that's where I kind of see that's my replacement for that book, because we're not getting a Robin book. So.
Well, but there was Robin, Son of Batman, which I say would transition more to that one versus We Are Robin.
Oh, I was thinking you think I should transfer the Robin, Son of Batman?
I don't know. That's going to be...
Between the two, I'd say probably has the closest audience.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I'll play it by ear. But yeah, if I carry you over and you don't want it, you can always say no.
Yeah. Because you don't necessarily know, but yeah.
Just don't throw it at me, but you can say you don't want it.
Yeah, take this.
If they throw it at you, then you can call it damage. Send it back.
I can write it off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, here's a way to do business. Just write everything off.
Well, how'd your taxes go?
Fine. Actually, I don't know. I haven't heard back from my account.
How does anybody's taxes actually?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
You know, maybe this is my forum to say it, but there's that McDonald's commercial that I'm like, why are you guys doing this for the Monopoly? They're like, you have a one in four chance of this. You have a 1 in 118% chance of being of your taxes being audited. Your auditor has a 1 in 4 chance of winning a McDonald's. I'm like, at this, why would you even bring up being audited?
Yeah, that's precisely bad marketing why. On their part.
But I mean, that doesn't make me want to go to McDonald's. It makes me want to turn off the commercial and go, why are you, you know,
why are you making me getting, think of taxes?
Yeah. Getting audited makes you depressed. Depression makes you eat junk food. Okay. McDonald's has junk food.
But I'm just sitting there going, why would you bring this up? It's like, you have a 1 in 80% chance of getting cancer. You know, why would you bring up something that is so negative? You know, it was just, I'm sitting there going, guys, that's really a bad commercial. That doesn't...
You guys suck.
Yeah, it's like, that's basically... Who even wants to think about that, especially as taxes are coming due, you know... Oh, by the way, don't forget, there's a possibility.
Do you have a guilty conscience?
No, I don't. No, but I'm just saying, why would you bring something like that up? Yeah, it's just
they
like,
got to bring back Grimace and the Hamburglar.
It's that he wasn't really... That's not a very good thing to go into.
A big fan of America.
They're like, the we have these good deals on all this food and this game, and you could win, but, oh, by the way, your taxes, they could be screwed
remember
up.
Remember cheese? He got arrested for corruption.
Remember cheese pardoned him, probably.
The Grimace.
Or Uncle O'Grimacy.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
He was already brought up in a podcast.
St. Patrick's Day without mentioning it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Oh, it is kind of funny that this month we had the DC separate. Next month starts with Image having their own separate catalog. Luckily, DC's going back into the book.
Bless you. Bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry. I looked for the sneeze button. I couldn't find it. That's Adam.
Okay. He's a sneeze guard. Gross.
But do we want to talk any more about the DC Rebirth? Or you think we've done it?
I thought you wanted to go through the book.
Do you want? We can.
It's your call.
No, it's fine. Like I said, I haven't read the beginning.
You're
of
the
it.
Boss.
It's interesting. At first, as I was reading the solicits for the Superman and action ones, it was like, what's going on? But now, having read this,
the
Super Team, it definitely is coming a lot more to light. I just got caught up on part 2 and 3. 3 came out today. 2 was last week.
They're definitely painting it as Superman is going to be dead.
Yeah.
By the time Rebirth rolls around.
But the one thing that I found interesting was because they keep talking about this Clark Kent. Well, that was introduced in today's issue, so that was interesting.
Oh. That guy we didn't...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some in the world believed dead, Clark Kent. So that, yeah, that's been interesting. Yeah, I'm just... I am really liking the creative teams the more I look at them. You look at it, Superman with Tomasi and Patrick Gleason.
I wasn't sure about that because his Superman Wonder Woman... I thought it was so-so.
Okay.
But so far...
Wasn't Tomasi doing this Super League?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so it's been good.
So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So far, 2 issues in, that's been, you know, fairly decent, so we'll see.
I'm happy that DC actually put this out,
mm-hmm.
because with our problems with DCU, where they had the preview inside of the back of the Convergence book, didn't really... I don't think put it in everybody's hands.
If you didn't get the right
put it in everybody's
book, you wouldn't see the
so
right
I'm happy
it was a good idea, but bad timing.
Yeah.
It should have been the back of the regular books.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was the only books
they were doing. Wasn't a regular book.
No, I'm saying before Convergence. They prior to the 2 months, it should have said, here's the...
Or do previous. Something like this with all of the...
That's
previous.
Really what I thought they should have did. but
but then like action, we're getting right into a doomsday story spinning out of the movie. You know, so they're saying, you know, let's come out strong.
I just don't want a doomsday story.
Rebirth, or the Batman, is at least interesting, introducing a new character and a new problem for Batman.
Gotham.
So it's letting King kind of say, okay, here's my take on it.
Yeah.
You know, where if they did an owl story or something, it wouldn't be his.
I feel like
his.
Snyder's
yeah.
just continuing it.
And then I like Detective.
It's a neat take, too, because the character's not a villain. It's a hero that has problems with how Batman does things.
Yep.
So.
And then Detective with Tinian. And being like more of a team type book, which I kind of like. So it's not going to be just, oh, here's Batman, here's Batman version 2. It's a completely different
yeah.
type of book.
Which is how they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Wake up. Aquaman with Abnett still going.
Yeah.
Flash, I was listening to the current off-panel podcast.
I didn't listen to it yet.
It's an interview with Josh Williamson. So
how
was
it?
Good. Really good. Hasn't really gotten too much into The Flash yet, just what I listened to this morning. But yeah, it sounds like almost like DC went to him and said, hey, what book would you like to write? And he said, I've always loved The Flash. So it's neat taking one of these indie guys and not trying to squeeze him into something, but letting him run with something that he does enjoy. Same thing, like I'm guessing, with Sam Humphries and Green Lantern.
Yeah. I'm excited for him joining the DC universe
mm-hmm.
and writing this book.
Well, I like the idea that they're bringing back the other, you know, the Red Lanterns, bringing back L'Arflees.
Yeah, I like they're bringing back the Red Lanterns, only I really loved where the Red Lanterns were at when their book, you know, wrapped up. And this seems like a very, you know, drastic change from where Charles Soule left them.
Well, yeah, but Charles Soule left them and then...
For a couple
two
issues
yeah.
yeah.
But I thought that ending was weak compared to where
very end may have been weak, but I like the idea that, you know, they weren't just the, you know, bloodthirsty.
Well, no, and that's just it. You know, they don't have to be the bad guy.
But in this, they seem like
they're very much the bad
guy. Yeah.
Well, but I think no matter what, when your frame of reference is... You know, you're looking through the eyes of being a Green Lantern.
I think they're
no,
Lanterns
but like if
always,
you even if you read
I think
this though,
the in between.
Even if you read this though, like Blee seemed like she had changed a lot in that
yeah.
series. And
yeah.
when you read this, it's saying that she is, you know, ready to massacre everyone on Earth as a means to an end for something. So it's
no.
just it's, it seems very different.
See what happens.
But yeah, we'll see what Rebirth does.
Doesn't mean anything till the end of the third.
But Green Arrow, I like. Now it's Ben Piercy is still the current writer.
Bring him back to beard.
But yeah, but one thing I like is he says my touchdowns are Denny O'Neil and Mike Grell, which makes me happy because Denny O'Neil did the classic Green Lantern Green Arrow run with Neil Adams, and then Mike Grell is the stuff that I absolutely adored. It was back in the 90s, and I was at a show, and it was fill a long box for $25 or whatever it was. And I got a ton of Green Arrow in that, and I'd never read really anything Green Arrow. He's never,
yeah,
didn't matter to me. You know, he's a character, and I got it. It was the Mike Grell run, and it was fantastic.
I was surprised to see that he's still going to be on this.
Yeah,
cause he's not bad, and I feel like he could tell a great Green Arrow story. Just the story he's set up to tell right now is kind of weird. This whole like the war,
the
thing.
Werewolf,
yeah.
yeah.
But hopefully, when after Rebirth, he'll get back to, you know, more like core Green Arrow.
Yeah, and that's my impression, though. Yeah, okay. Green Arrow can't be a werewolf anymore.
But he's not he's a good writer.
Can't you see him sitting down with John's going, "You did what?" No. So Wonder Woman next. I think we're excited about Wonder Woman, and then Teen Titans Rebirth. This is going to be spinning out of the
Titans Hunt.
Yeah, Titans Hunt, and you know, getting back. Yeah, it's Donna Troy, Arsenal, Garth, Lilith, and Nightwing coming back together. Which those are my Teen Titans, so that makes me happy. So yeah, I mean, there's not a ton this month. It's 20 books, but really, that's what 10 titles. Nine titles. Because Titans is only one, and then there's Rebirth, which is the main Rebirth book.
Yeah.
So not a ton of titles. But yeah, and I think I was looking, I think there's like 17 next month. Somebody was asking me if I was going to do the same thing for the June titles, and I said I basically need to wait to see how many there are. You know, I got to just
yeah.
do math. That's all it is.
July titles.
The July titles, yeah. So I just got to look to see that. So That's about, I mean, then we're getting into the weird, wacky Raceland.
Is not the wacky Raceland I grew up
with. No. And then Scooby Apocalypse, Future Quest, still going. The second Teen Titans Earth 1. We got Justice League 51 and 52.
I'll try not to rip that Teen Titans Earth 1 in half.
And, yeah, please. And then just wrapping up a lot of the series. I guess are wrapping.
I'm surprised there was that something... Justice League 52, number 52, is only $3.99. I figured that'd be a bigger buck.
Yeah. Well, it's only 32 pages. It's regular.
I just thought, would it be in the 52nd one? I figured it would be more.
Well, and actually, this is weird, because it's written by Abnett, who's writing Teen Titans Rebirth.
It says it's directly
a prelude, yeah. So maybe 51's really the end of it, leading to Luther Superman that we've seen in action.
This is a prequel.
Yeah.
Because it even says, set shortly after the formation of the Justice League. So it's going back in the past.
Yeah. Okay, so a flashback issue. So, and then, yeah, just really kind of wrapping up a lot of the other series, or the ones that are continuing, like Poison Ivy. Well, that one actually is the last issue.
But I heard
Batman
Earth
Beyond.
Earth 2 Society is continuing? Beyond Rebirth?
Oh, is it? Okay.
I did not know that.
It's not in here.
What did I hear? I heard Dr. Fate might be.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
Bring back the old Justice Society, aren't they?
And the weird thing, none of these say final issue, which DC is normally very good about putting final issue.
Like Constantine, Hellblazer.
Well, like, but this says, you know, the shocking conclusion to Red Hood in Arsenal.
But
even Cyborg just says 12. Well,
that's...
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they're just not telling us.
Yeah. They're not telling
us. Yeah. I did like what I did read about. One thing I read about Constantine was basically they're writing off all the new 52 Constantine issues by just saying it was a bad trip to the States and now he's going to be back in London, which I kind of like because he should be in London.
Why did they write them off?
Well, not write it off. Oh, no, they're not writing it off, but just saying, you know, that's what it was.
Back to what Earth 2 Society, that book really can't exist afterwards. Even though they're the characters from the Justice Society, these can just be Earth 2. If they put the ones on Earth 1, or whatever the prime Earth is, you could still have Justice Society after that. So you can really keep them both. I don't think that's going to affect anything, really.
The other thing, I originally wanted to go also through the Marvel previews. I just don't want to take too much time. The main thing I noticed in it that I wanted to touch on was when I was looking through it was how many books are not tying into Civil War, and little things like all different Avengers actually is the beginning of a story arc, and it's not tying into Civil War. And I just found that kind of interesting. I'm like, because you'd think something like this is big, Civil War amongst all things, would be an all in. Type of event like the first one was.
They've done that so many times, and every time people complain that all their books are being.
I get it, but it's just.
They also said that every title is going to tie in.
They did say that, but I'll be honest, I hate when they do that.
Oh, no, yeah. I agree.
No, I agree, but how can you have something as big as this, but then, you know, Falcap being his book tying in, but not his appearance in Avengers. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, look how big Darkseid War is, and none of the other DC stuff.
Yeah, no. But they intentionally kept that. So that it just like Deadpool ties in, but you know Avengers doesn't. Sorry, I'll turn this ringer off. You know what you got. I apologize. So that just struck me as odd how many books weren't tying it, and what core books like you don't expect Daredevil to tie in and things like that.
Right.
But. Some of the books that do tie in are kind of, a lot of secondary ones, but not the main ones. So that was the one thing I noticed.
Nova
on that.
Ties in.
Right. Because, you know, everybody loves Nova.
Kid Nova.
Yes.
That's creepy.
That is very creepy, yes. The Harley book and mask set, the mask is very creepy. Ooh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's $125, but.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Absolute Year One.
I like this Snyder Capullo box set.
Mm-hmm. $50, that's not too bad.
It's not bad at all.
That's what, four trades?
Three. But, so I guess we'll get to books. Since there's no more news, and I think I've talked about everything I need to talk about. So, who wants to go?
Wasn't there anything going on in the store?
Yeah. Oh, and the story, we're going to start there? I thought we'd finish with that.
No, we always do it in the middle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we got our last week of the alphabet sale coming up. The one and only time this will ever happen.
Colin's favorite week of the alphabet sale. I feel like this alphabet sale has been like that joke about owning a boat, where the best weeks are the first and last week.
Why is this last week going to be the best? Oh, because it's over?
It's ending. Yeah. It's over, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, only because it has nothing to do with the problems with it.
Yeah. Sell it.
But I probably had about three people that have actually come in and will specifically look at those sections to see, look for stuff, which was kind of what I was hoping would happen. But more, it's just been confusion over the...
I still don't get that. It drives me nuts. I don't understand what's confusing about it.
I don't either.
Especially since we've been posting it for so many weeks now. You think after a couple weeks, people are like, I get it.
I think it's more just the people walk in and go, what, Ellen, why? What does that mean? I don't understand. So
read the rest of the words surrounding it.
Well, words are hard.
Context clues.
Next week is the last week. It's M and Z. So, Pat, what do you got?
Well, for M, I got Bendis' run on Moon Knight, which is actually my favorite run on Moon Knight.
And sadly out of print.
No, you actually have a copy of it.
Okay.
That's how I...
Oh, I was thinking Vengeance of Moon Knight. Never mind. Sorry.
No.
I think was also Bendis, but...
That might have been. But this was heavily with his dissociative identity disorder.
Okay. Where he thought he was the three characters?
Yeah, he was talking to Spider-Man, Captain America, and Wolverine.
I think they referenced that in Moon Knight 1.
They do. Yeah. He's got comics flying off the shelves. And then for Z, I had to go with Marvel Zombies because it was sadly the only Z book I've read.
The first one of that was really good.
Yeah, that's the only one I've read.
Then it went down.
That one. Kind of a different concept.
Spinning out of a Mark Miller Ultimate Fantastic Four story.
But it's, kind of a different concept than the normal Marvel Universe.
True.
So, Adam?
Me? For M, I'm going to go with Marvel 1985. It's...
Another Mark Miller
book. Yes, it is. It's a fun book. It kind of takes you. It really feels like a movie, like one of those, like almost like a Spielberg movie from the 80s. It's about this kid in, let's say, our world, in reality, where comic book characters don't exist, and he finds this basically this gateway that these villains are getting through into this house, and they're staying there planning basically an attack on this world, and it involves him going into the Marvel world from 1985. So all the costumes are, black suit Spider-Man, Thor from that time, all these characters, and he has to bring them over to our world in order to stop these villains. Really, it was a fun book to read. If you want something really different to read, go for it. It's also, I forget who the artist is on this book. But it's a really nice looking book as well.
Imagination.
Reminds
you of Imagination Land, sorry.
Yes, I know, I was envisioning the airboat going through the sky.
That's all there.
Imagination.
And then Z is a tough one because you don't have a lot on there, but like,
your fault.
I'm sorry, you're right, I don't carry enough Z books.
You need to write more Z books.
More Z books, Colin.
Who's your favorite character in all of comics whose name starts with Z?
None. I can't think of any.
Victor Zsasz.
Zsasz. Zsasz, yeah, it's good.
So you're recommending all Batman books?
All Zsasz books.
All Zsasz books. That didn't help me at all. I'm just going to go with what I said last time because Legends of Zelda, we have Link to the Past. He also has
2 weeks in a row.
A few mangas on the shelf, actually, of Legend of Zelda. So.
What a cop out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Get more Z books.
Yep.
What a cop out.
Can't do anything else either.
Well, no, I my cop out is even worse. But my M is Madman, which Mike Allred, wacky, crazy. And I don't have a Z book.
That is worse. I was wondering, how's it going to be worse than his cop out? But that is worse.
Sorry.
All right. Well, my Z book is iZombie. I have not personally read it, but my wife has read it. So my wife is, are you questioning my wife? No,
not at all.
If she was here going over it, it would be more helpful.
I recommend Zenith by Grant Morrison. I've never read it, but it's there.
Did your wife read it?
No.
No, well, then there you go. She's a doctor. I would trust what she says.
Which goes back to your knowledge. If she read the book, we'd rather trust her judgment on this book.
I didn't know knowledge about comics books was sexually transmitted. He didn't read it. His wife did. So
she told me about it. Okay. She talked about it. My wife and I talked, Pat.
She was like, this book has a nice cover. Oh, so he's right. Just like, it has a good cover. She told me that.
I bought the books for her.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
That's her saying, you better stop talking about me.
It was her, actually.
She said it didn't have much to do with the show, too, right?
Yeah. She said it's quite good. It took her a little bit to get into it because it is so different from the show, because she went to it from the show initially. After seeing the show, she was interested in checking out, so I got the trades. But yeah, it seems like it's more supernatural than the show. The show's a bit more grounded.
Another Mike Allred.
The show is more grounded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. As grounded as a show about
zombies can be, yeah.
Not quite as out there as the book is.
For Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah. It's only 4 trades, and there's a really nice omnibus that's not too terribly expensive, I don't think.
No, I don't remember.
That Colin has in stock right back here on the shelf. And for the M, I went for Manhattan Projects. By Hickman. And is it Patera on art? Is it?
Yeah, that Nick sounds Patera? Right. That sounds right.
Which is really, it's a really wacky book in that it looks at the historical events of the Manhattan Project and introduces very over the top stereotypes. Like General Leslie Groves has grenades all over him, and everything's just very amped up. There's doppelgangers from evil doppelgangers from different dimensions. They're aliens, and it's all focused around this evil Oppenheimer who's leading the Manhattan Projects, and Einstein has been locked up, and his doppelgainer then takes over, and it's just.
Do they have Oppenheimer?
What's that?
They all have beards.
They don't have beards, but the way the book is colored, there are blue and red shaded characters to show which ones are the good and evil. But it's really wacky. It's fun. It can be a bit confusing because so much is going on sometimes. But it's really enjoyable. It's a good read and definitely preferred in trade. I couldn't imagine reading this in single issues. So take advantage. Get Manhattan Projects. You won't regret it. If you do, call to give you a refund.
Is that true?
Josh will, but don't worry about it. We'll handle it.
We'll get you your money.
I only ever read the first issue, but it was very good. But it was just one of those. It was
it's Hickman.
is big and overwhelming, and trying to keep up with this monthly would be.
Yeah, it is. It is stereotypical Hickman.
The off panel podcast with him was quite fascinating.
That was really good. He is. He's not afraid to speak his mind about things.
I have a couple disagreements with him, but
yeah, but he's very knowledgeable, and the things I disagree with him about, they weren't big issues, but
Yeah, I thought that's what you were doing. I was where's that coming from?
No, he was talking about trade pricing and trade stuff, and he doesn't like the $9.99 trade, and I'm like, I get
what he's saying.
I get what you're saying, exactly, but if you know you're going to have a series of 6 or 10 trades, a $9.99 on number one to get somebody in is a much easier path.
Well, I think what he's missing is that Image puts out a lot of different books. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, a Hickman book can sell a $15 trade, but when there's so many books out there, having it at $9.99 gets me to try something, even if I otherwise might think, I'm buying too much already.
But I wouldn't do it if it was only one volume.
No.
Right,
it's
but if it's, gateway drug, come to a store on Free Comic Book Day, you'll see the power of free,
But although, look at Valiant, they have some miniseries that are only $10.
Yep.
The Valiant's $10.
Yep. But that gets you into their line.
Yeah.
Which I think that's where value is going.
I think Divinity's pretty standalone, and I think that's $10, isn't it?
Right, but I'm just saying, you try that, hey, I kind of like that. I'll try Imperium.
What I'm saying is Divinity, though, doesn't really get you too much into the other characters.
No, but it gets you into their world. Yeah. And kind of once they get you... That's, like, my big thing to all the people that would come for marketing. I'm like, I just need to get them in the store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't need to pitch a sale or this or anything. I just need them to, you know, if you can tell me how you... If I spend money with you, we'll get more people literally coming to the store, I'll pay you, but...
The other thing he was very, you know, passionate about in arguing was his use of those, like, splat...
The pages,
like, divider pages.
Yeah.
Which I have, you know, criticized before, like, with, I think, Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You know, how many of those were in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a good point, like, if they weren't there, it would just be ads instead. It's not like the actual story pages were cut down.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, okay, that makes sense then. If you're still giving the same number of story pages, then who cares how many of those, you know.
Oh, did you listen to the Mitch Gerrards one?
Not yet.
That was very good. It was short. It was only 15 minutes. It was good.
Oh, 15 minutes. That's it. Okay.
He interviewed him at East Emerald City Comic Con. So it was short, but it was very good.
I don't mind those divider pages when they're, like, in between, like, main story. But when they're at the beginning and you have to go, like, one page, two pages, well, three pages. Okay, here's the story.
Hickman has an architecture degree and he's very strong design background.
I didn't know that. So knowing that now.
So that's why he was, you know, talking about it. Saying, like, he wants his books to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And he knows that a Hickman trade on the shelf is going to look better than most other trades out there because that's how he designs it.
I do want to go back and read Nightly News. I never did. Yeah. It's funny because that was coming out right when I opened. So it's kind of, you know, he's been around as long as I have. But I couldn't have written Fantastic Four.
Yeah. So I'll be right back. Okay. Dave, what are your picks?
For M, I'm going to recommend Manifest Destiny.
I heard it was good.
From Image. Kind of a cross between Lewis and Clark and the X-Files.
That's it.
Lewis and Clark.
Two things you're a huge fan of.
Yes.
Big fan of
three things.
Yeah.
Three things. Lewis and Clark exploring the
Lewis
new world.
Lewis Clark and the X-Files.
Lewis Clark. He has a separate.
Exploring the new world with a lot of monsters they find, you know, in the forest. And I have a Z.
Whoa. All right.
Zot. Z-O-T exclamation mark. This is, I think...
Yeah, I think he has.
I think he has one of the big trade paperbacks. But this is from the 80s by Scott McCloud. When we did You, I recommended Understanding Comics.
That's right. Yeah.
And Zot is his comic book, and it's about Zot, who's like kind of like a superhero guy from another dimension who comes to our Earth and befriends this girl Jenny, and it's a very retro. Zod comes from a world where everything's like 1965, even though there's laser guns and spaceships, and it's a cool book.
It's very sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Let me see if he has it.
I'm pretty sure he does, because I swear I've seen that.
He came out with,
You could have picked a General Zod story.
I never read a, I've read,
Yeah, complete black and white.
I like
collection.
It to be somewhat in it's the a title, cool though.
It's black and white.
It's special circumstances.
Yeah.
Some of the villains are Nine Jack Nine, The Blotch. And it's a cool little thing. See, very retro looking.
Yeah.
So those are mine.
Huh. Actual.
Oh, that's a hefty little book here.
That is.
I don't think it's that expensive.
No, it's $25, but it is
Scott
thick.
The Highlander.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
There can be only one Scott McCloud.
Yeah,
I love Highlander.
I miss that show.
And yeah, I used to like the show.
The first movie
I really liked.
The first movie was really good. Second movie is wacky as hell.
Yeah.
The second movie kind of undoes everything from the first one, doesn't it?
Not so much undoes, I guess, but the second movie shows, you know, very far future what would have happened.
Yeah, that's why.
And then suddenly everything's, you know, they're all back again. Okay. They had just one, and then now they have
bunch.
Yeah.
I know I saw it, but I saw it years and years
ago.
The
first one's a good movie, though, with Sean Connery.
Oh, I read that.
Yeah, he did
that's
a good
my
job
seat.
In that movie.
I failed. Sorry.
You have failed.
Sean Connery and Christopher...
he was also in
Lambert.
The Mortal Kombat movie. He played Raiden, yeah.
He was also in that like futuristic Beowulf movie.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's it. That's all he was.
Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Yeah, you can look up his entire thing on IMDb.
Yeah,
so
and one, you don't have to scroll.
No, he's been in a lot. No, hater, hater's gonna hate Colin.
Yeah. We didn't say we hated him.
What?
You were projecting hate.
So the other sale we have, kind of an unannounced sale. So
it's
we
a
might
secret can, sale. It's
could
a,
be
it's
a
secret
sale.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
I'm sure I could try to announce.
But it's double points on all Boom and Black Mask books. And I feel bad because there's a lot of Black Mask I've reordered and it's gone to back order. I just need to order direct from them.
Has anyone come in to take advantage of this sale?
No.
Because okay,
actually, we have a lot more Black Mask that we've collected back there than Boom.
Yeah, but so we might continue. Or I might come up with something different in May.
There's a lot of kids' books over there. That
haven't given it
as well.
A ton of thought. I need to give more thought to this.
You need a content manager.
I do. I absolutely do.
He needs lots of managers, but he's not.
Yeah. So books. Who read what?
None of us read anything.
Okay.
That's a podcast.
Adam, you're first.
Yeah, Adam goes for it. Adam always goes for somebody else.
I read Amazing Spider-Man. So
the
Sorry.
Head of
Amazing
Vertigo
Spider-Man?
Just quit.
What?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's Pat's News right there. We interrupt this program.
That was fast.
Yeah, the head
for
of
Pat's News. Head of Vertigo. Just quit.
They're bringing back Karen Berger.
That'd be awesome.
Berger or Berger?
No, interesting. Hmm. Announces the departure of editor Shelley Bond as her position as Vertigo Vice President and Executive Editor has been eliminated. According to the statement from DC, the company is re-examining the direction and focus of the Vertigo imprint of comic books and graphic novels with the goal to keep competitive and stay relevant in the changing marketplace and to set the business up for future success, blah, blah, blah.
Have they really done anything with Vertigo?
No,
for a
well,
while?
I mean, they're doing it right now. They have a ton of stuff right now.
Yeah, just now.
I don't think she has done a bad job because since she came on...
Yeah.
They came out with all those new books, and a lot of them were decent, too.
Yeah. Long on the forefront of cutting-edge comics, the imprint has ceded serious ground in that territory over the years, mainly to Image Comics, which offers a purely creator-owned deal where the publisher doesn't own any of the material nor control film or TV rights.
I feel like that's the route they kind of have to go. Maybe a tweak on that, but share rights with the...
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Hey, Pat, can I have a Coke?
Sure.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to start with Amazing Spider-Man. this book...
Was it amazing?
No.
Was it Spider-Man?
Yes, he was there. But it... Spider-Man goes head-to-head right from the beginning with Zodiac. And in his fighting in Paris. There are a lot of problems that I just have with Dan Slott anymore. And it's just that he tries to bring his regular life and interest into the book, which is okay sometimes for a writer to do. But, like, he said Alonzi in the book, because that's a Doctor Who phrase. But where it comes from Spider-Man, I have no idea.
He just hangs out with his cat all day, doesn't he?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think that's... Twitter.
That's what it does seem like.
I stopped following him on Twitter because I was...
It just, and his jokes just aren't funny. Like, they're really cheesy. And not only that, Spider-Man wouldn't joke, but he wouldn't just go, like, crazy.
He doesn't joke, he quips.
He wasn't Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't just all the time. He does little quips. And his are just really odd. I can't think of, like, they're so bad I can't really remember so many. But the Alonzi one was really bad. Just out of nowhere saying it. Just because Dan Slott's a fan of Doctor Who. Well, I hate to tell him, but this isn't a Dan Slott book. This is a Spider-Man book, you know. But yeah, he goes up against Zodiac.
That was something.
And then he fights.
What he just said, it's not a Dan Slott book. It's a Spider-Man book.
Mm-hmm.
Where with, you know, Image, people are buying those books because
it's a Hickman book.
They want that creator's book.
They want that.
But his problem with writing for, you know, the big two sometimes is people don't care who you are. They just want that character.
They just want,
they just want a Fantastic Four book. Yeah,
yeah, and I think that's...
It was more Avengers.
But that's fair. It's my money. I want what I want.
Well,
that's not fair.
Yeah, well, no, what I'll say is where I agree with that more is if it is like something like an Image book or something where they're writing their own story. But when you have a character that existed for years, write the character how he exists.
His
not
problem
how
is that his problem is that
hear it.
You can't do too much, you know, new creatively with those characters because people come in there expecting to have that character that they've, you know, known for years and years and years.
Yeah,
when you do something different, you get a lot of backlash.
Yeah, no,
it's kind of like
that.
If you do, like, go into with Batman versus Superman, and people are looking at this movie and they're like, well, this isn't how Batman's supposed to be. Well, this is how my Batman's supposed to be. Well, this is how this... There's so many versions of these characters out there that it's hard for somebody to, please everybody.
I get that, but... You know,
but I get what you're saying as well.
Spider-Man is not a super spy. Don't make him a super spy. Yeah. That's not what he is. He's a ground level street crime fighting.
Devil's advocate though, neither was Nightwing, and they made him that, and you and I both enjoyed it.
That's a good point. If you can do it, I think it's not so much that they do it; just do it right. And sometimes I don't think, and you can't really decide what's going to be right or not until it's made. But so even, it is tough.
Well, for but that. Even with that, they didn't make Nightwing that. They made Dick Grayson that.
Well,
no, it is different because that's taking Spider-Man. Yeah, that's... No, because you don't have a Spider-Man book. You have a James Bond book that they slap Spider-Man on.
Yeah, but there's like 17 Spidey books right now.
Yeah, so I think changing that up, that story. I don't think that so much bothered me as much as. As much as just the tone. And he's taking a different tone. And I don't know why. Just how he comes off as a character. It isn't working. And I think it's... Really, I think it's time. And it's not to say that... And I've said this before. It's not to say that Dan Slott is a bad writer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a time when it's time to leave a book and go to something else. And I think he's just been on it for a long time. What, 1,000 issues so far we're up to now?
Slott's arguably most popular, run recently was a huge change in the character with Doc Ock.
It was good. I really enjoyed the Spectacular Spider-Man. But I think that was the story we wanted to see, and I think now he's just, and every relaunch doesn't help him, because then he's just telling a new version of the story, and it's not getting there. I want to see what they're doing with, in between in this issue, they had some things dealing with the villains that this man in red has apprehended and taken into his group, and whatever he's planning on doing with these characters. We don't know who it is. A lot of chatter online is it's Mephisto. Because
Men in Red?
Yeah, because he's the only one who did...
Curious George's owner.
Yes, that's what it is. I hope that's what it is. That would be awesome. But
here's the Man in Red right here.
He just needs that. But he's the only character to bring somebody back to life, really, because he's done it before. So I think that's what it is, and he's wearing all red.
Yeah, look how that worked out.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're planning, but he has already brought characters back to life. So this Dead No More is, getting closer. Characters are coming back, like Kirk Connor's son and wife, Rhino's wife, just a bunch of characters are coming back to life. And it's leading into that. He's able to... he was able to go up against Zodiac for so long. He tries to get a meeting with his people. He figures out who he is because he goes into his apartment, Zodiac's apartment. He sees that he's one of his biggest investors in the Parker Industries. And that's kind of where they leave you. So it's not horrible. It's just the tone is just really weird. That's my biggest complaint with this book. The story, it's okay, but too much of the joking, too much. And it's weird Spider-Man joking. Not really the Spider-Man joking we're used to. So, Batman TMNT.
Yeah, I read that.
I like this book. I just really like this book. The art in it is really nice.
Yeah.
First issue had some issues with how he was making the old two. Yeah, but they blend the styles. You're right. And it just, it has that Batman feel, but it still has that, like when, in this book, they go to investigate Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes? Is it all of them? No, it's only two of them. It's Raphael and Batman?
No, it's Batman and Damian.
Damian went with them?
Yeah, because...
Damian did show up in this book. This is the first time Damian has showed up.
If you remember, because Leo passes out in the Batcave, and then they were going to take them...
For some reason, he's being affected by the mutagen problem.
First. Yeah.
Not sure why, but maybe he showed up first. I don't know.
They said they got about a week, and then they're done.
Yeah. But he, I love seeing the villains because they, the Shredder does mutate them.
The Penguin becomes a penguin. Yeah.
Joker was a snake. Poison Ivy, I thought was interesting. She was a praying mantis.
Yeah.
And it just fits her because what do praying mantises are a natural pesticide. They kill other bugs off of plants. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Not only that,
and they ripped the heads off.
Off the male. So I was like, that was a clever,
yeah,
clever idea. Just looking at them all, and then how they were drawn.
Yeah,
just a very good mixture of
the two turtle
style and Batman style. So, just a really good book. In this previews guide that we have here, this DC Comics, they do have a hardcover in here. That's going to be coming out. I really recommend it. It's a really fantastic, fun book. If you're looking for something really fun to read, this is it. Earth 2 Society. This book, I like it. It's just, this issue is really kind of boring. It isn't really moving very good anymore. It's dealing with, it's gotten a lot really political, with the citizens of this new planet don't want metahumans protecting them. And they also figured out that there are no resources on this planet, so that doesn't help the situation. Green Lantern has become, in this book, more godlike. He almost reminds me of a Dr. Manhattan-like character.
It's Alan Scott, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very much... He doesn't help things very, because he's so powerful, but he's trying to help, but in the end, it just gets all screwed up.
He's Dr. Manhattan without being able to see the results of his...
Yeah, he can't, he tells he comes to negotiate with the two cities that are at war because of resources, and he tells them straight out, we don't have any resources. And it doesn't really help them, because they're just like, well, that's great to know, because now we're just going to, have to kill all these people on this other side and whatever, and he's just like, what just happened? Because he doesn't know. He thought that would work, telling him where you have to work together to do resources, but he wasn't thinking. The other thing happening is Fury, who is Wonder Woman and Steppenwolf's daughter, has led the new Amazons, and she has something going on with the leader of Atlantis, who's the queen of Atlantis. And they have some sort of plan that they're up to as well. It was kind of weird how they were able to become Amazons, because I think that was questioned before. If they didn't have any and they were all gone, how did they make new Amazons? And supposedly she had this box that contains the spirits of old Amazons that have perished, and basically when you release it, it creates new Amazons through that. And I thought that was a little odd. Was just kind of out of nowhere, and I don't know when they brought this box with them, because Fury never lived on Themyscira or wherever in Earth 2 it was. I think it was called Paradise Island on Earth 2. But it's an okay book. This issue was just really boring, and it needs to pick up. And also, this entire time this book has been out, they've been at war, and it just goes on and on. There's no peace on this place whatsoever, so... Kind of hurts the book a little bit for me. But I want to see what they do further into this. Hopefully it becomes a little more than just that. Let me see what else I have on here. Star Wars C-3PO. I was able to read that. I was never really... wondering throughout that whole movie, whenever that part came up, was C-3PO had another arm? Why he gained his arm? I don't know why everybody was so excited
about
this.
That's all I wondered about.
And reading it,
just want to know why Chewie didn't get a hug. That's all I wanted to know.
He never got a medal either.
I know.
Yeah.
She's hated him from the beginning.
Yep. Yeah. She's racist against Wookiees.
Yeah, that's pretty well it.
He does probably smell pretty bad, though. So.
If the Wookiees from Endor, you have to quit.
Yeah. But, this book is fairly easy to explain, though, because it's C-3PO and a bunch of other droids are kind of refugees on this planet.
Well, they have a captured first order droid.
They have a droid. They're kind of
escorting.
Oh, just, you said Endor. We did get a comment on dude, man, not
Happy
cool.
Turkey Day.
No, IGN.
It's not Thanksgiving.
Do any of you go to IGN's website for anything ever?
Yes.
Recently, anytime you browse one of their articles now on a mobile device, videos automatically play halfway through the article, and I freaking hate it. I can't stand it.
You know what that does for web design? They just go away. They just don't come to the website.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
I'm
tougher with
going.
IGN, but if that's going to happen all the time, you're just like, why am I going to be harassed while I'm... And that doesn't help advertising at all. Whenever I see an ad like that, I'm like, where do I close it? I don't remember what it was.
You're not allowed to use the Chewbacca defense for why Battle of the Atom was good.
No. So last week on the podcast, we mentioned about the paintball thing. They're doing the battle on Endor, and...
We mentioned that?
Yeah, we were talking about it. And so we did get a comment saying, I believe the Emperor states, entire garrison of my best soldiers are waiting on Endor. So. Just want to shout out to somebody who listened to the podcast.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Thank
Jason
you, Jason.
Dick.
Yes.
Okay. Good for him.
Okay.
What a good guy.
Yeah, the C-3PO was...
Well, it's... yeah, one of them's a First Order droid that they're transferring.
First Order droid, that droid... Admiral Akbar has been captured. That droid knows...
It's a trap! It was a trap.
Yeah. That droid knows where it is, so they're trying to get information from it.
Yeah.
When was this supposed to have taken place?
Somewhere between the movie...
No, it's...
It has to be prior to...
That's it, yeah.
Oh, I guess before the movie.
The First Order is involved. They didn't really specify a timeline.
They didn't say Empire.
I mean, it was
they
in between
say First
somewhere
Order.
In those movies. Somewhere the First Order exists then.
So somewhere between Jedi and The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I bet you wonder how I have it right on. No, not really.
Yeah. And they... all the humans died on the ship. So they have to kind of save themselves. So they all kind of work together to get through this planet. And this planet has to be the worst planet I've ever seen. It has, like, bugs flying all over, giant bugs that are, you know, tentacle monsters, huge spiders.
It sounds like Louisiana.
Acid rain, everything. Yeah. So they're
like
getting
Louisiana.
Through all this stuff, and it really, I don't have to...
It was
to
kind of anticlimactic at the end.
Yes. Yeah, because you're expecting, like, this arm to be, like, incredibly special, and it's not.
Well, he gets his arm ripped off by one of the tentacle monsters, and then he's hanging out with one of these Empire droids who they were trying to get information from.
Yeah,
so
that was the one
along.
They had prisoner. That they
and then to. they realize that the Empire one at the end, through the power of friendship, sacrifices himself for C-3PO.
Yes.
And as the acid raid comes down, it melts all of him except
his
for
arm
his
falls
arm.
Off. C-3PO's like, whoa.
And the reason it's red is there was red primer on the arm before they chrome plated it.
And while he's melting in the acid rain, he's just like, oh, there's primer. I was wondering what color I was or something before that. It's just like,
yeah,
wow.
So basically the red is just primer.
Not only was it the power of friendship, but they figured out that robots don't really like people. That's what I assumed in that
book. Oh,
we
knew
because
that.
He sat there and he was just straight out like... He was just like, why are we fighting this? He questioned that throughout the whole thing. Why are we fighting this war? You know, and all this. Dealing with. Remember that?
Yeah,
how
but I never said that C-3PO is like a real rebel.
I liked that. That was okay.
I like the stuff they're talking about, their programming and their sentiments and how they could easily be on opposite sides if. Or a different side.
He also,
if their programming was different.
Yeah. C-3PO brought up the point that even though their minds are wiped, they're not, like, completely wiped.
Yeah.
They have, like, almost,
started,
like, phantom memories.
Yeah, he started remembering stuff from the prequel.
He remembered the Jedi Temple burning, going to look for Anakin. He remembered, but he didn't remember
Genesis.
People, like, their faces. He just remembered places.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about, like, the Prime Directive or whatever.
And then the story is called The Phantom Limb,
which is sad.
Stupid.
And we didn't need a big
huge
spread. This goes back to what Josh was saying about divider pages, though. We didn't need a spread that was like C-3PO, the Phantom Limb. I don't think we needed that. For. I mean, one page enough. I give it that
much. It makes it more cinematic.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But they tried. Oh, with this.
The ship form was late. Woo!
Yeah, it was, especially for a book that wasn't that late. It wasn't.
No, it coincided with the DVD release.
It wasn't supposed to. It was supposed
why do they still
coincide
with refer
the movie
to it
release,
like, as the DVD release?
What do you mean?
Like, most people still say DVD even though they're buying a Blu-ray or...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I find that odd myself.
So what does Blu-ray really mean?
It's the laser's
the
blue.
The laser's blue. It's more focused, so you can have smaller peaks and valleys on the disc. So more compressed data.
That's it. Blue laser.
Because that's all the laser's reading is little like burn marks, you know, valleys or
kind of like
you know,
hills
within the gotcha. The media.
What else you got?
That I believe is it for me.
That's
I mean,
it?
I read stuff, but I'm saving it for everybody else.
Oh, saving it for everybody else.
He's saving himself for.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about some ones that
no,
I know.
That's not your turn.
Oh, it's Pat.
Too far.
Oh,
I hear you talk.
No, whatever.
No, go ahead, Colin.
No, go ahead.
Okay,
go
it's
ahead.
All right now.
No, no.
It's yours.
No, no, you. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay.
Go on. Go on, big guy.
All right. Last contract, number 4.
No.
Did you read that?
I did not. I only ever read the first issue of that.
Oh, I thought you had been keeping up with it.
I had great plans and hopes. But
okay.
And dreams.
Well, look at my list. 3/4 of it is ones.
It ended somewhat predictably with the old man dying and you know sacrificing himself for the kid. But what we found out was that the kid was behind releasing this list the whole time, and he set everything in motion to get the old man killed and kill this mob boss. Because his father had been killed, you know, 20 years ago, whatever. Let me say, it was a little predictable at the end, but it was still overall a decent read. You know, it kind of had the shootout at the end. It was kind of like, you know, just when you think somebody's dead, they're not really dead. You know, that kind of stuff going on. Badger. You reading it, Dave?
I read this issue, yes.
I did
He's hate reading it.
Okay, so...
Yeah, Dave is hate reading it. Dave is hate reading it. The only thing...
this issue, I'm probably hate reading it, too.
Ooh, and the plot thickens.
No, I just...
It was a little odd. The one thing I do hate about it is the one character's name is Buick Riviera.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God. My mom had one of those.
And then there was an Asian character who at the end started talking in Asian language stereotypes.
Yeah.
And I read that one line of dialogue and I just went, oh.
Oh, well, what about all the Russian was backwards?
I didn't mind that because that kind of told you that they were speaking Russian without having to do the little in quotes. I had no problem with that. But I had the problem with her saying something where, you know, she couldn't say an R. You know,
it was the R's and L's. Or
yeah,
like,
it was. And it was very, you read it and just went, oh.
Yeah.
So, that was an issue.
You guys really like this one.
I have.
my problem with it, it didn't have the charm.
My notes are WTF.
Careful.
It didn't have the charm of the prior ones where it was him having his multiple personalities and things like that that you really got in issue 2. Number 1 setup was a good setup.
It was missing the charm of him being a sociopath.
Well, no, but there
multiple
was...
Multiple personalities are not sociopaths.
Yeah, don't.
It's different.
Don't get into that.
I'm going to get into that later.
But overall, the rest of it was just
a
really...
Thing?
But don't worry about it. We'll get there.
All right.
The rest of it just, yeah. It was all
that's
over the place. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, since you ruined my transition, we'll go with me.
But there was some fun stuff.
Transition?
Where Buick Riviera was doing cloning of extinct creatures, and it was kind of funny because some of them were the wrong sizes and things like that.
Like
we're working on that.
The dodo was the size of an elephant.
Yeah.
The buffalo was like the size of a little dog.
Yeah, he's like, we're working on that. So,
the Buick Riviera had this wacky thing where whenever my mom would hit the brakes, these two little red dots spaced about an inch and a half apart would light up inside the car for some reason when the brakes were hit. And it looked like these little demon eyes. But
I freaked you out.
But it served no real purpose. You're
just
the car.
Mess with you.
Like, you
know
you're the driver, you know you hit the brakes. Why do you need to show an indicator?
Some designer was just like, I really want to mess with people, so I'm going to add these LEDs for absolutely no reason.
That's for everyone else in the car.
Yeah, I guess it probably would have been LEDs.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Moon Knight number 1.
I liked it. I thought the art was fantastic.
I didn't
know the artist, but I thought the art was fantastic.
Isn't it? Is it Greg Smallwood?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I wasn't familiar. Oh.
Who did the art on the last run for part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, minor issue, but it just bothered me. So I got the variant cover, which was a cool cover. It had, you know, just Moon Knight's head.
Yeah, I liked it. In
big letters it wrote across the top, schizophrenic. Moon Knight is not a schizophrenic. He has dissociative identity disorder. And that point is actually made in the book by his therapist.
Yeah.
So you would think there'd be some consistency between the book and the cover of what he actually has. Because schizophrenia and dissociative identity disorder are not the same thing.
They're just using
things.
That word to say crazy, I think.
Yeah, but that's, you know, to me. Well, no, I'm not offended by it, but it's like, be consistent.
Okay, yeah.
You've
okay.
diagnosed him with something. Yeah. And
at least skeptical with a lot of that.
Yeah, and there's a history with Moon Knight going back to Bendis where, yeah, he's talking to people.
Well, because whoever did the variant cover just did a variant cover. They didn't look the inside at all.
I kind of get that.
They didn't care.
Well, no, they probably just said, we want you to do a variant cover for this book.
That's it. He just gets out.
I think if you were going to put something like a term on the top of that, you might as well know who the character is.
You may be able to be both.
And what he is.
I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist.
I mean, he acts a little schizo. Because when he has the visions, like he's seeing the Egyptian stuff and then the modern day stuff, and they're suddenly like the, you know.
Yeah, but even.
That's schizo.
Yeah.
It's kind of schizo.
If you think it's schizo, right into the podcast.
Well, wait a second.
Let us know.
Show it to Sandy.
Yeah. She's a doctor.
Yeah.
She's just like, you're all
she should
up.
Be able to tell.
And she'd look at it and go, "What? Why am I looking at this?
This is ridiculous.
We just
you would say to solve a debate.
I don't have any more copies, though.
We need him diagnosed.
Sold out.
You can log into my Comixology account.
Just take a copy of Bendis's run, because he has the same... examples gotcha. There.
Let her diagnose.
Yeah, let him die. Yeah, exactly.
Moon Knight.
Yeah. What is Moon Knight's issue?
She's just like, now,
just so, I'm sorry, are you done with... Oh, no, keep talking about Moon Knight. When you're done... Oh, yeah, look.
That okay, sounded awful.
Are you done turning on yet?
Are you no, done? No. Are you done, Pat?
Yeah.
That's not what I
I'll
meant.
I'll keep talking about Moon Knight.
No, that's not what I meant.
But I, you know, I did like the actual issue. I like the art in it a lot.
I have no idea what to believe.
Right, and that was my next point, is this really going on in his head, yeah. or is it not?
Because something definitely seems off about the hospital he's in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no idea what to believe, which kind of puts you almost in the same mindset that he is in, so...
That's I'm sure that was an intentional choice by the writer.
Mm-hmm. I like to look at the art. Hmm? Like, the art was really nice.
Yeah.
Pictures were real pretty.
But it even had, like, the Khonshu that they used in the last run that had the big Birdman mask, the Toucan Sam deal. I kind of like that, how they're not just...
It wasn't Toucan Sam.
No, Toucan Sam's beak goes down.
Yeah,
there's a big difference, Pat. Yeah. You can't call a beak that goes out a toucan.
Yeah. Follow your nose, Pat.
You should always do
it. All right, Khonshu cannot show me
it's
where
it's like calling someone down. With dissociative identity.
No. Toucans are going to be protesting.
That's going to kill you.
Outside.
No, it's not the same.
Don't sneak next to me.
If I was going to do that, do you think I wouldn't go through him, too?
He's your supplier. You wouldn't take him down. You have to go to somewhere else.
I'd have to go to Nerds? You're going to
say it. I mean,
nice,
might as well get it out.
Be nice.
I tried to stop myself and be nice, and then these...
Who says I wasn't being nice? You'd go to Nerds.
No, Century 3 is actually closer to me.
Oh, yeah, go Century there.
Do stuff.
Well, I wouldn't go on hamburger.
Well, the burger handling with my books the one time just chatting.
I thought they were gonna take Pat and like see some room or something the way you said it.
Jeez, perv.
I'm just saying. What the you hell, were just man? Like you were like, they do stuff there, and I was just like, what did they do?
Was it good
well,
touch or bad
sex
touch?
Stuff?
That's a good thing. It involves burgers. I don't know.
What the hell, Adam? Now, what were you going
to say? One gentleman
Colin?
Handled a greasy burger and then immediately grabbed my books without wiping his hands in between.
That's worse than what we're talking about. You're right.
And the weird sex stuff would be less offensive than
what they did with the comics. So, Colin, what were you guys on?
Oh, I finally read the Ellis run.
Okay.
The first six issues of the last run. Really good. It was very interesting how Ellis lately his, like, he did it on Secret Avengers where it's just a bunch of one issues. It's like he just has a couple ideas. Yeah, it's like, I'll get them out. And it not necessarily a Moon Knight issue or a Moon Knight idea, just an idea that he adapted to Moon Knight.
No, the one was essentially the Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the other one with the X operation, you know, guy who was the assassin for this group, and they all went on to different jobs, and he was left.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was neat. I thought the art was fantastic.
How he did that with telling stories like that, where he...
I don't mind. I mean, that's fine.
It did bother me in Secret Avengers.
I mean, Bendis would have made that a 3-year story arc, and each issue would have been.
Well, it did bother me with Secret Avengers because, like, they had a story going, and it was, like, interrupted with that. But that wasn't really his fault.
No.
But no, I
very much. It's just, I'd had a damaged copy. I took it home, and it's just been sitting there forever, and finally I sat down and had the time to read it.
Yeah. Kennelbach Blues.
Have them at home. Just haven't cracked them open yet.
I can't crack a whole. I can't say I'm not enjoying the book because I am. But I can't tell you what the hell is going on in this book.
Number one was that's for sure.
So the only thing I really got out of this last issue was it went into Cosmo's background.
Okay.
And you see that, like, you know, he was adopted by a couple, and they were a loving couple, and they loved him, and then they had a kid, and he loved the little girl, and they used to play together. And the family starts to have trouble. They get divorced. He ends up with the guy, and the guy doesn't want him anymore. And then he gets shipped off to the kennel.
What a jerk!
Yeah. Well, and it all takes place in, like, I think it's either one or two pages, but, you know, the panels, you see the time going by. You know, so he doesn't want to talk about it. You know, because he doesn't want to face that reality. He very much wants to go back into the cartoon, colorful.
That's why he starts singing again.
Yeah. But it's been good, you know, but it's just weird. There's a lot going on there where it's like, I don't know what the hell I'm reading. But not in a bad way. Any other one I'll talk about is The Adventures of A&A.
I like this, that. I'm my only problem with that is I'm not a fan of the artist, and some of his little quirks started popping up again for me.
The art is it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cartoony.
Yeah, it is. At first, whenever they announced this series, that was the one thing that I was a bit apprehensive about, is because it looks very different than the previous. What?
No, I have a specific problem with this artist, and it's just you guys are gonna laugh.
Who's the artist?
David LaFuente.
It's going to be wandering eye.
It's
or
not
something.
Eyes.
No, it's not eyes.
My problem is just that the characters look very different than their previous run, but I don't know what Collins.
My problem is his noses. Why do they all have a little circle on the end of their noses?
Yeah, why do they?
And
have
his
that?
Nose, there were a couple pages where it literally looked like it had been.
It's like that's his way of making it look 3D. Like
normally, he does this long pointed nose. So it's almost like somebody said not to, and every single one has a circle at the end, which is just really, really odd. And there were some pages where Armstrong's nose literally, it was always completely outlined. I mean, what's going on here?
But Mary Maria's nose is fine.
It's fine, right. So
he can't draw men's noses.
Yeah, it's just...
Where he puts the circle.
This is a weird grape. This is not what I've...
No, but just that little circle at the end of every
one. There's a half circle
there. Yeah,
so
it's just something that I just...
You know what's going to happen now?
It just...
He does this, and he'll tell you about one of these little things. You'll always see it
out now.
Yeah. I never noticed
it. There. That just... I remember that one jumping out at me going,
every time anymore I read a book and it has somebody with an eye facing the wrong way, I'm just like, you know, Action Comics.
That's a great face. It's just, with the little circle at the end, it just strikes me as odd. That's all.
But
I enjoyed it very much.
My problem is just that Archer has really huge ears.
He does have
and
really
he didn't
big
have
ears.
Really huge ears.
But I love the thing where they're drinking and they're talking with the stuff in their mouth and it's everything. I enjoyed everything about it.
Yeah, it's
with him remembering who the guy is. He's like, oh, I remember you now when he shoved you in the bag. And everybody climbing out in the big robot. I mean, great issue. I loved it. I'm just not a fan of the art. And maybe you need that little cartoony to make that stuff, make Davy the Mackerel work.
For this type of story, you need that cartoony art.
Yeah.
So I do think it works better than I thought it would.
I'm sorry, just the nose.
Davy the Mackerel and that got away, didn't he?
He did get out because now he.
At first, he wasn't sure because when he turned around, they were.
He
all
got
there.
Out, but then she made him. Mary Maria made him come back in to help her.
That's right.
Fine,
he went back in.
But no, what I like the book is really it's kind of wacky, but then also gets a little, like, you know, touching where you see, you know, as he's showing like his past with you know, his former best friend and his wife, the best friend's wife, showing like how, you know. He does have kind of like a lonely existence through the years, being this immortal who seems like he's just, you know, debaucherous, but really it's because he can't, you know, be attached to anyone. They die.
That's what I kind of like about all of those characters, those brothers to begin with.
Although making the moves on his friend's wife, that was a little...
Yeah, but he was drunk.
Not cool, man. He's always drunk.
So, very drunk.
He was always drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
This whole thing is to get a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. This whole arc is about that. That's what I kind of like about these characters in particular is that there's so much you could tell a story because of them being immortal. Yeah. You know, you can go back at this time or where he was. Mm-hmm. You know, reading, like I'm currently reading Volume 2 of Archer and Armstrong, the previous series, and when they're showing all this stuff with him and Eternal Warrior and their past, and it's just like you could tell so much with them because they could be anywhere in time.
Yeah, you know? And they are, which is really cool.
Which is, there's just so much you can do with them. So no, I've really liked it. I've liked this second issue a lot.
It's very, very unique, very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So that was Pat's review. I think we kind of totally overtook it.
No, that's okay.
Right. We all read it.
We all read it.
Mm-hmm.
It does
did
Josh
they read it?
They good
read
to
it?
Know that he's got a whole table reading.
Yeah, you'd probably like this book.
Okay. I feel vindicated.
Yeah.
And it feels weird that we all read it and you didn't, Dave.
That does feel a little weird.
It's okay. Yeah,
especially because
we just want to make
you
sure
my other
included.
Valiant guy with one book at least.
And now he's converted all of us.
Now they've jumped on.
Dave doesn't like the humor stuff. That's what Badger bugs him. Yeah, it's too wacky.
It's too fun.
Don't pick a fight with Dave.
I'm anti-fun.
You were in Christmas.
That's why Dave just reached DC.
An orangutan was torn apart.
Ripped,
yeah, that was.
He did come flying out of that cage, though, so you can't really blame the guy.
Brother.
He was protecting Putin, or no, he's protecting Yak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are going what? Yeah.
We just
gotta protect Putin.
Yeah. No, Putin was protected by the demon.
Putin is in Divinity 2 today, also.
Oh man,
nobody likes Putin. Was he shirtless in it?
Maybe.
He has writing.
He's often
watching?
Shortless.
Is that what you're watching?
Shortless.
Shortless?
Shortless?
Shortless.
And then suddenly an image in my head of Putin with a shirt on but no shorts. Riding a horse.
Right. Pat, what else did you read?
Oh, I didn't read anything. Dave, what did you read?
Dave, now you forgot about Dave?
No, I just wanted
Why
to get off
are
that
you
topic.
With Dave?
I was just trying to move on
get
from
off
that
of pantsless
topic.
Putin.
On a horse. Don't forget the horse.
Well, if it would have been this book, it would have been a unicorn.
The Mongols used to make jerky by putting it between the horse and the saddle and letting the meat rub back and forth.
I did not know that.
Look on Adam's face right now.
After pantsless Putin, and then you're talking about...
the meat rubbing back and forth?
I'm a pantsless guy? That's gross.
That's the title.
Dave, what'd you read, please?
Pantsless
Putin.
New book from Brian Wood, Black Road. Number one, this is kind
sorry,
of. This is.
I've named more podcasts than I think anyone else here.
This is Brian Wood's return to the kind of his return to the Viking genre that he did in that great Vertigo series, Northlanders, and this is. This is about the church trying to convert the Vikings, and the main character Magnus has to escort a church official up the northern road, which is called the Black Road, because They say it's the murder trip. And it was really good. It's really good. It's almost like a continuation of Northlanders, where he told different stories about different characters, different times in the Vikings.
Northlanders is a lot of trades. Like, what is that? What is it, 10 trades?
I don't think it's that many, but yeah.
Really? Yeah, they have a lot. It's one that looked really interesting. I've always wanted to read it.
Yeah, the good thing about the book is he doesn't make any... There's no judgments, you know, about what is the right side of this... Of the conversion and the priest that Magnus is... escorted and gets killed, and he's even unsure. Magnus is even unsure, you know, what side of this, you know, fight he's going to fight on. So I appreciated that about the book, and it was really good. I don't know if it's a continuing series or just a mini series, but hopefully it'll go on for a while. And the other Brian Wood book is Starve came out last week. I read the last, I don't think I talked about issue 7 when that came out, but the last two issues of this, 7 and 8, Chef Gavin has kind of left the Starve TV show, and he just on a whim kind of buys a chicken restaurant in the city and keeps the whole staff there. He makes the janitor, the day manager. And he kind of goes around with the guys, you know, trying to figure out where to get fresh food. He's just all about serving a good meal to these people, to his customers. And it's kind of, you know, they talk about just, it's about food, but, you know, it's more than that. It's about how food affects a city and commerce and all that kind of, all those kind of variables. And he's left the, Gavin's left the Starve TV show, and his daughter is kind of taking his place because she's given a big contract after appearing on the show with him. And on the opening night of the restaurant, the network goons come in with baseball bats and kind of beat him to a pulp for leaving the show, you know, while his contract is still good. So it's just an excellent series, just excellent. Next, Autumn Lands.
I do read this, but this is the one I didn't get to read.
You didn't read that one yet?
That and okay. Constantine, I haven't.
Okay, I won't give away too much. It's Autumn Lands number 10. Yeah. But in the last issue, they were in Dusty and Leroy the Champion were in...
the Sheeptown.
Sheeptown.
Yeah.
And they're off trying to find to the mountain to try to... figure out what's causing all the strife and a plague. It affected just the kids in Sheeptown. I don't know if that's the name for it, but
I think it's Sheeptown.
Is it Sheeptown? Okay.
Sheeptown. I could be wrong, but
they're making their journey, and the water is tainted. So there's like three-eyed frogs in different mutations all around them, and the magic is growing stronger. And they meet a goat who's kind of mutated too, and Dusty's able to heal him with his magic because the magic is getting stronger as they're making their way to this mountain where something's going on there. And I won't give away what happens if something happens at the end that'll lead into the next issue. And I won't give that away for you, Adam.
I was able to check the back letter page because that's when he explains why the book is late all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he's always just like, it's going to be better next time. It's going to come out. And then it's like late again. So I don't.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
It's almost like don't say anything. Because every time you say it's not going to be late, it's late.
I know. It was coming out at a good clip when it first started. And I was kind of amazed because the art is so, so beautiful.
And then they took the little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And then they came back, I think the Sheeptown issue or maybe even one before it or two.
Yeah.
And then it stopped again. It's just like, stop telling people. It was like at the end of either Sabrina or After a Life with Archie where they said in the letter page, they're like, this will never happen again. And then when would we see the book?
And then it happened again.
It was right after that book. They only brought out one book in that time. So stop telling us stuff. Quit giving us false promises. But it's a good book.
We get a new Afterlife with Archie. Or no, we get Sabrina in May. And we get Afterlife with Archie in June. It was solicited.
We'll believe it when we see it. Screenshot,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
It was solicited.
And other one I read the first issue of Jackpot. Did you read that, Colin?
I did, yes.
It was just okay.
Yeah. It's about, like, it's some sort of heist, and the distraction is this guy playing high-stakes poker. Was it his girlfriend, but she wasn't his girlfriend? Or she... Yeah, it was his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was, like, nagging him and stuff, and it turns out she was just setting stuff up.
Yeah, they're all working together.
Yeah. And there's a guy in a boat. But, yeah, it's a big heist book, basically.
Yeah, they're, like, the greatest con men, con women.
Yeah.
And kind of cinematic, because when they introduce the characters, and they have that lettering that's kind of floating in the air, like the cold reader, the poker face.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But... seems like more's going on at the end there, but
yeah, but it wasn't bad. I think it was $1.99. That's one of the Aftershock ones. So they've been doing pretty well.
They've been trying to put books in people's hands with $1.99 price.
But I still, it's not like I went, oh, I'm gonna double my order. It's like I still don't know. It's a new company.
Did they give you, like, a preview or anything?
Sadly, they did, but I put it on the counter. Like, it was a bundle of them, and they all went before I had a chance to look at it.
Yeah, because that would have helped at least you decide, but still, you don't know what your customers might want.
Right, but, they did Rough Riders.
This one didn't jump out at me. Like, I thought Rough Riders was really good.
Rough Riders was excellent.
Did you like that pattern?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I got it. I haven't read it.
You didn't read it.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Did you read Darth Vader?
Oh, yeah.
I did read Darth Vader, yeah.
It was the conclusion of that arc dealing with the crazy orb planet.
The
Shu-Torun War. It was just okay.
It was okay. Yeah. Like, still, Darth Vader is still the better of the Star Wars books.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's like saying syphilis is the better of the STDs. That's not really a good thing.
I don't know. I just read that. I find myself wanting a book.
Don't get that far with Darth Vader. I mean, it's still an enjoyable book, but I get
it. You want to know what the timestamp is?
I find myself just wanting a triple zero book, you know, by himself.
Yes, triple zero is terrifying.
Yeah.
He was actually planning on this whole... he's planning on a robot uprising. He should really... He should have been on that ship in C-3PO. Where they were on there, they were just that would have been a more interesting book. Get rid of C-3PO from that book. Have Triple Zero.
None of them would have survived.
He would have sacrificed them all to survive. That's what he would have done. Yeah. Then he would have made a robot out of all of them powered by blood. That's what he does.
I'm glad this little arc hopefully is over now.
The conclusion was kind of interesting, where the Triple Zero tells them they got a call saying that they have Aphra. And
good point.
They figure out who has Aphra is the inspector. Mustache. Yeah, the guy that has the monocle and the mustache.
No, I meant Aphra or something.
Yeah, which I saw just recently. They have an action. They have an action figure cover for every book ever. They have one for him, which I was kind of interested in. That's kind of cool.
He's a good character. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back to where it was with more Aphra stuff.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of people have problems with Star Wars and the main character protagonist being a female.
Those people are idiots.
Yeah,
I think the bookers.
I'm sorry if I offend anyone by saying this, but if that's your complaint, get a life.
Yeah,
you can send send hate mail to
William Shatner,
Mr. Shatner.
Get a life, you people.
It's true. If that's your complaint, your complaint is there's a female lead again. Shut up. Jesus. You had six Star Wars movies that start a male character. Get over it.
And my favorite character in Force Awakens was Rey, because I thought she had more.
She was awesome. She was awesome.
Yeah.
And Daisy Ridley did a fantastic job playing that.
You want Annie again?
Yeah, right.
Too late. Well,
they had that too, though. Kylo Ren. Yeah. He was
a little whiny.
Yeah, he was a little whiny.
At least his character was written to be whiny.
Yeah.
Even Luke Skywalker is whiny. He was wanting power converters all the time.
Critique the movie over the content, not because the main character is a certain gender.
You got me.
I want blue milk. Please, Bantam milk.
But, yeah.
Well, my friends are joining.
Yeah, I want to go to war. But you look at the outer rim.
Billy's going to get killed. Why can't I get killed?
Why can't I get killed in the war?
You get to follow the great Skywalker tradition of losing a hand.
Isn't that crazy? Like, he was. At the beginning of that movie, he was just like, I want to go to war. Everybody else is going to war.
Yeah, Bix is going to the academy. Everything. Why can't I?
But then when Obi-Wan is just like, here's a lightsaber, come with me, he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know?
This just got a little too real.
Got too real all of a sudden. You're giving me a lightsword. Saying my father was this. Just, no. I wanted to go back drinking blue milk and working with evaporators.
Well, I was going to put in my application to the academy. Well, I hate the Empire. Then why do you want to go to their academy?
Yeah, he was all for it.
That
doesn't make any sense.
Just a kid.
It's the Rebel Academy.
Teenagers. Right, Colin?
Exactly.
But yeah. That was Darth Vader. But it is one of the better of the Star Wars books. I enjoyed the first run of it. I think Vader Down really screwed it up for me. And then and also
a
Vader
crossover
Down,
killing the pacing of a book and
Marvel, especially in Marvel.
Say it's not so.
Yeah, it was so.
We were talking about Aphra before. It's been missing Dr. Aphra.
It's been missing her. She's been in the Star Wars book, and then Kyle Higgins doesn't know how to write. Is that right? No, who's on that? Jason Aaron. Jason Aaron is
random Kyle Higgins.
Sorry, Kyle.
Right there. Sorry, Kyle Higgins. Well, we've already talked about our opinion of Kyle Higgins on this.
Our opinion of Kyle Higgins that day.
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip.
I'm sure he's like that all the time. I don't think it was just the
but
day.
I can only base off of one day.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true.
I did like his run on Nightwing.
I like his Nightwing run. I like his Batman Beyond run.
To be fair, that was the same trip that he and Buccioletto got lured to some random dude's house in West Virginia.
Jeez. But that was after he was here, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Good point.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Poor guy.
Not really.
It was sad he was ordered to that person's house and he on Wall Street. That's
it. You gotta do your due diligence before you agree to go to one of those.
Yeah, he was a comic shop owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell him that
it was just where the signing
was
at
was gonna be in his house. Like if you looked up the guy, you would have saw, okay, this guy legitimately owns a comic shop.
Frankly, it's creepy.
It's creepy.
Super creepy.
That's weird. I didn't hear that story.
Okay. We talked about it on the podcast.
I don't remember.
I don't. Yeah, I didn't know that.
A guy set up a signing for them, just like you did. But it wasn't in the store. It was at his house, and just like him and some of his employees, just hanging out at his house with Buccioletto and.
That was right.
See, I thought he was here for a Comic Con.
They were.
It was down in West Virginia.
Yeah,
the guy who does that con, that's a shop.
He conned them.
Pretty much.
Was it him?
Yeah.
Did that?
Ooh.
I didn't know it was him.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
No wonder why Buccioletto won't return your phone calls.
He was the one that owns the store as well.
You're certain that's the store they were good? Or are you just guessing?
See, I'm sure. I thought
now we know what's going on here. He's just theorizing.
See, I thought it was an actual, like, Comic-Con.
Well, there was. That's what it was, yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like that.
Well,
no. They were in town for this Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And while they're here, they did a signing here. They're doing a signing there.
Okay.
But, yeah. So,
okay.
Josh.
You done?
I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. Green Lantern, Edge of Oblivion. Any guys?
I'm behind on that.
You're behind? Okay, well, then I won't spoil anything, but this...
They all die.
Oh, sorry. There was a big twist here, and all is not quite what it seems in terms of who the bad guys are. And it's leading to a bit of a divide amongst the Lanterns themselves. It was good.
It's badge.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how to say without spoiling. Like half the twist I kind of expected from the beginning, but one of the other reveals in terms of someone, you know, just half of it I expected, either half of it was kind of a surprise, but it was good. It seems like there's more known about this universe ending than, you know, we believed, you know, to be true. And it seems like this is something that has happened, several times in the past, and certain characters have taken advantage of that fact and kind of bounced around from universe to universe in the process. But it was pretty good. Constantine also, I won't, you know, spoil that since Adam hasn't read it yet, but this has, it's a slower issue. It has Constantine trying to find somewhere else for all of the magic users and magicians in New York to, you know, find refuge, since New York is being overrun by, what's his name, Neron?
Yeah,
So he goes to L.A. and, you know, curmudgeonly about L.A., how much he hates it, and what seeks an audience with Gabriel, which is weird because this is a very, you know, different Gabriel than we see in the Lucifer book right now.
Okay.
This Gabriel, you know, he has a mansion and there's always this perpetual party going on, and he kind of, like, you know, oversees Los Angeles, and he's very much, you know, heaven's representative and very much, you know, in power still. Whereas in Lucifer, we find him in, like, a crack den, you know.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
But he's trying to, you know, plead with him to allow, you know, L.A. to be a refuge for the, you know, magic users, since L.A. does have, like, some qualities which would be, you know, beneficial to them. But Gabriel denies him and, you know, jokingly tells him to check out Portland. He hears that that's, you know, friendly for his kind. And while that's going on, there's some stuff happening back in New York. I mean, Colin finds it to be very magical.
It's magical.
It's Portland, place. Yes. It was fun.
The boom bus.
I never made it in Portland. I couldn't find it.
It's that magical.
It is.
He's driving around.
No.
And while he's in L.A., he's trying to avoid Oliver back in New York. But then when he gets back, he finds out some bad stuff has happened to make things kind of personal. But it was good. The art was different this time, but it was still great art. It wasn't. I think it was Travel Foreman on art. It was very much his style from whenever he was on Animal Man, which worked out really well mm-hmm. for the book.
Yes.
But yeah, this series has been really really solid.
How is that book continuing into?
I think he's going back to London and starting the story.
Is it the same creative team at all?
That I don't remember.
I didn't see that.
Check your DC previews.
That's in front of you.
Yeah.
Talking to people on the podcast too.
Yeah. Everyone. It might not be in front of them, but if it's not in front of you, come down to Pittsburgh Comics.
I still have plenty.
Deadly Class number 20. So this arc has been really, you know, high energy, high octane, crazy violence with this freshman calling. But this issue kind of steps things back a little bit and slows things down and is more, you know, character focused. We're seeing Marx's group and he's kind of reflecting on, you know, everything that's happened up to this point and, you know, mistakes that they've made in their current situation and figuring out a game plan for trying to escape. So apparently at the end of the freshman calling, anyone that's still alive gets to go back to the school and take their rightful place amongst their peers. So people that were even considered, you know, the rats to be hunted down, if they manage to survive this calling, then they have to earn their spot within the school. But Marcus and his crew decide they want no part of the school anymore. They just want to escape some other city, and they think that sends a more powerful message to the headmaster of the school than anything else. So while they're trying to plan that, Marcus's friends and one who was his best friend and the other who was someone he lusted after for a while and then had a brief fling with that went very wrong, and then they ended up together with his best friend and this girl. But they're being kind of blackmailed into hunting down Marcus and his crew, even though they're, you know, still quasi friends. And then in addition to that, we have someone within Marcus's, you know, group that may be, you know, working for the other side as well. So it's definitely, it's setting up a big, you know, resolution for this arc, but it was nice to have this issue to kind of, you know, be almost like a palate cleanser to calm things down a little bit and kind of remind everyone, you know, where these characters are at, you know, in terms of the story, not just, you know, the violence. But this has been a really good series. There's been a few times, I've said this before, where this series has gotten a bit dense in terms of the, you know, text and trying to give too much, you know, exposition on the characters. This issue starts off that way a little bit, but it all made sense, so it didn't feel too dense. But I feel like this arc, and even the arc right before this, Remender's really, you know, kind of found his footing and made this book great. Like, before, I think it was really good, but now I would say this book's been great. And I think the last one that I want to mention is Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Yeah, I read that.
So this book emphasized the Wrath part of the title.
Oh, yeah.
This book was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It was a bloodbath. So this is the prelude to Labyrinth. And we get two things going on here. We get kind of a background on another character who seems to be immortal in a different way, where every time they die, they seem to be like reincarnated as someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's who that person we saw was in that lab or that labyrinth at the end of the first arc, I'm guessing. And we're also, in addition to seeing like their background, we're seeing, you know, Galad trying to get his son back after his village was decimated in the previous issue. And we find out the person that took his son is actually this other immortal character who knew about, you know, the Eternal Warrior, and the village was tore apart specifically to get the son.
To get the son, yeah.
We found out that the mom may have been a prostitute. You know, yeah, like kind of, you know, working for their side, even though she, you know, fell in love with Galad and her family, but her initial motives were to, you know, get pregnant by him and bring them the child. But yeah, he makes his way into this castle and is just murdering every single person he can come into contact with, trying to get information on where his kid's at, and, you know, making his way to the king's chambers.
The one guy up on the top where he's holding them by the one, Commando kept going through my mind.
Yeah.
Although he kills him a little differently, but then for whatever, I just kept thinking that.
Yeah, this was brutal, and it was great. Like it was
a really good issue.
It was super violent, super bloody, so many different types of kills, but it felt so kinetic, and I don't know. It was really satisfying to just see him.
He was on a mission to save his son.
Nothing was going to stop him. Like, if you think back to the first arc and how, because I believe that's the son from the afterlife that kind of kept giving him the cold shoulder, it kind of makes you feel bad for him because his son really acted like he wanted something to do with him, but he went to such lengths to try and get his kid back.
That's just it.
They really painted the picture to show how desperate he was to get his kid back and get revenge.
Yeah.
And in the end, he falls just short because, as we find out, the king is really a pawn to his, you know, queen, who is this reincarnated, you know, other immortal person who's kind of, you know, pulling the strings in the background. And they manage to escape and burn every other ship in the harbor before they leave. With the brutal end of him just falling to his knees and screaming, but yeah, it's great, and this is the last issue for the prelude to Labyrinth. So next issue, we get into this Labyrinth arc, which I think picks back up where whenever he woke back up, came back to life, and he was in this, you know, in this lab trapped. So it's been good. This series has been great. I really, really, really enjoyed it. All right, that's it for me.
That's it for you. Okay. Batman Superman 31 is the second part of the
I read that
Super League story.
It was on my list because I just pulled it on your recommendation last week.
And it was fun because I really haven't read much of the Batman Superman book. I read the first arc and kind of then drifted away. But this was fun. Starts off with Batman fighting random thugs and Superman showing up and kind of taking care of it.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, dude, you know, and it, but the best was Superman goes evening and Batman, this happened a couple times during the episode, the issue, and Batman's reply is, it is. And, you know, just not like, how you doing? It was just very, what?
Oh, matter of fact.
Like when he took care of the bad guys, he's like, you're going to tie him up with a bow? You know, it just, he was very, you know, offended that he was there. And then when it was time to go, he's like, oh, you got your car? He's like, no, good. And he just picks him up and flies off. So there was definitely some tension. But then he's like, you know, why are your eyes green? He's like, that's what I'm here to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a neat scene then down in the Batcave where he's like, oh, you have you done all the tests? You know, everything. He's like, yeah, you know, do you want me to try? No, I don't want you to try. I want you to help me find Supergirl because I need to talk to her and I don't know where she is. And kind of a nice touching moment at the end with Alfred coming up saying, because basically Superman's dying from all these different things that he's done. And Alfred coming up and saying, you know, I'm sorry I was eavesdropping, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a really nice moment. It was kind of, there was a fun moment too where he meets Titus and then he meets Bat-Cow.
He's like, let me guess, Bat-Cow?
Yeah.
And Bruce's like, yeah.
So it was, that was fun. I enjoyed that. It was a little, you know, he's dying, but he's not sad. It's not gloomy. It's not morose.
Yeah.
But it was a really good issue. And then I've read the action that came out today, and that was very good too.
Was that issue also with his interaction with Lana, or was that in Superman the week before, where he told her he was dying?
I don't think that might have been Superman the week before. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay.
So that was good.
These past two issues have given me confidence in Tomasi being on the Superman book.
Gwenpool number one. Nobody else read Gwenpool number one.
Well, that's not a book call. That's just a cover.
But basically, the idea is there's this girl who all of a sudden is a comic book fan and all of a sudden realizes she's in a comic book. So she goes and she gets a costume made and she's
a fangirl.
Yeah, and she's going around now as Gwenpool. And she meets up with this guy. I don't remember who he is, but he kind of starts tagging along and they're doing stuff. And then it was kind of very interesting. At the end, she runs into MODOK, and she's like, what? And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then MODOK kills this guy that she's with, and she's like, whoa, wait a minute. And now she's recruited to work for MODOK's organization. That was the end. Not bad, but it not
necessary.
You know, no. Heartthrob. I think I had talked about this one before. This was Oni. And it's about a set in the 70s. This girl, I'm trying to remember. I read this on the airplane to Portland. But basically, she's had she's had a heart condition. So kind of a, you know, uneventful life. You know, just has an office job. Everything's kind of boring. And then she finally gets on the line for a heart transplant. She gets the heart transplant. And all of a sudden, she's having all these weird memories, weird dreams, weird desires. Not with guys, but like,
ooh, la, la.
Like, she wants to do things that she normally wouldn't have done. She gets, you know, a little mouthy at work, things like that. Well, through one of her dreams, basically, the heart came from a this like master thief, and so a lot of his personality is going into her now. And she's, like, dreaming and talking to him, and she's, like, falling for him. And he has several jobs left undone when he died, so now he's trying to do that. So, that was good. I enjoyed that very much. Hot Damn. This is IDW.
I thought that was the new way.
This is, Hot Damn. This was the most bizarre book I've ever read, but I will continue reading it. It's basically a guy has died, and he is now down in hell. And this demon is basically, like, orienting him into hell. And you go to, you know, you have your daily therapy sessions. And it's just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre just how this goes along and meets all these demons and meets a friend. And, oh, I'm not surprised you're here. You know, things like that. It was just, it was bizarre but very interesting. Fun book. I mean, definitely, you know, not serious book. There's a lot of humor to it, I enjoyed that very, very much. And then the last one I read was really weird. It's called Arathune, Arathune, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. It's a fantasy book. E-R-A-T-H-U-N-E. I just grabbed it. It was a number one. Like I said, I try to read... I try to read a lot of the number ones, not all. And it's like a fantasy book, and I could just never quite get my bearing. Like, the characters weren't introduced enough to understand exactly who they were, what their motivations were, what their relationships were. And it kind of jumped around a lot, so you just... You weren't always sure what was going on. And at the end, I was kind of, okay. Little publisher, and I just don't know if it's going to keep going. So, yeah, so that's what I read. It's funny, I was looking on Facebook. I didn't forget, but one other thing that's going on at the store is next Wednesday we're going to do a little signing.
What?
Chad Ciccone, there... Action Lab is doing this big Actionverse event. When the Zero came out, I had Vito Del Sante here. He did Stray, and he wrote some of that book. And every week, it's a different issue featuring a different character. And this, the one that ships next week, is featuring Fracture, which is Chad Ciccone's book. So he's going to come out 5:30 to 7, just out for here for a little bit. Signing copies, if you're interested. I still have plenty of number zeros, and I think I still have some signed by Vito, so you could get them double signed, which would be Chad will be here on Wednesday night next week, getting that. So yeah, it was funny, not that I forgot, but I never had a chance to do anything on the computer.
What time?
He says 5:30 to 7. Okay. So
that's the last guy said too. And then he was gone by like 6. Yeah.
Well, it's Wednesday, so hopefully people will be here. And
yeah, but we were here at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was gone.
He was not.
So.
I'm just saying.
I hear you. So that's what we got. So, anything else? Okay.
What's coming out next week, Cal?
Next week, hey, Actionverse number 3 featuring Fracture is coming. Aliens Defiance.
When he said anything else, I mean, it's like he was about to.
No, I just say if anybody else wanted to talk about anything. That was all. That was all. Okay, Aliens Defiance. it's the 30th anniversary of Aliens. So
I think they've been around longer, though.
Well, no, for the book at Dark Horse.
Got it.
Also, Avengers Standoff Pleasant Hill Omega, wrapping up the
Wayward Pine story.
The Wayward Pine story, yes. Batman 51, we get the denouement to the...
I haven't seen Wayward Pines.
Yeah.
Will I be lost reading that, or should I...
No, you're not supposed to know about Wayward Pines.
You should watch Wayward Pines and just forget about that.
That rake really effed you up. Every time I see your hand...
Just holding the... However I was holding the
rake. Did you put some Neosporin on it?
I did not.
You need like a garden.
That was just Saturday. It was Sunday, so it's... I'll be fine.
If only you had a strapping young lad that you could do this for you.
Well, the problem was we have some dead spots, and I was having to rake up the dead grass with this rake I have that's like that really nasty teeth.
Some dead spots? You mean your yard?
No, just a couple spots. So I was raking that up, so it was a little more work than just like raking leaves. So Batman 51, Daredevil number 6, which is the start of the Elektra story, so hopefully that'll bring in some people that watched the show. Dark Knight 3, Master Race number 4. Next week, Disney's Darkwing Duck.
Let's get dangerous.
Yeah. Doctor Strange, this is what I love. Doctor Strange number 7 and Doctor Strange Last Days of Magic, both shipping the same day. Thanks, guys. Couldn't split those up. Faith number 4, wrapping up the Faith story before it heads into its ongoing.
Yay.
Now, the Image Plus Extra. This is the extra image book. It's shipping with the previews, with interviews and things like that, and also includes a 4-page Negan story that is going to run for the whole year. So at the end, it'll be a 48-page origin of Negan.
And that's not free, right?
It is. It's free with the previews, but then I also had to order 50 extra for the Walking Dead people. So, but those are $2.
It's not bad. But if you get previews,
it's free. Correct. But I just don't want anybody taking, like, 10 copies of previews, because that would make me angry.
No, I'll just let them get one copy of previews.
Yeah.
Pay the current eBay price.
Yeah. And that's my other thing is, though, it's shipping with previews. Adam knows how the previews come. And
they come separately, and you gotta...
Well, and they're not gonna, you know, the chance of them being mint, you know, and it's gonna be magazine size, so, you know, it's
We're
gonna
lucky
be,
the previews
be
show
chaos.
Up in a box.
Yeah, sometimes. They've been repacked and retaped.
They're in a garbage bin.
Yeah, just like, here.
Yeah, sometimes.
Might as well, here, you can take that back out.
Yeah. International Iron Man number 2, Justice League 49. So we're getting closer to the end of the Dark Side story. Yes, I've been enjoying that one very much.
You,
Killbox number 1. This is coming from
you have the hardcovers of Dark Side War.
Yeah, that's all that's out so far. Killbox, which is I forget. It was an interesting premise. They talked to us in from American Gothic Press. I don't remember what it's about. I'm sorry. That was February.
But you were drunk.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was not drunk at that time. low number 13. Micronauts number 1. I'm excited for this one.
That is exciting.
I want to get back into low. I want to get the trades.
Old Man Low. Well, just another one that is it late? Let's see. Low. No, not terribly late. Old Man Logan. Omega Men. Over the Garden Wall. Number 1 of a new ongoing.
That's been popular.
Yep. Previews is next week. Samurai number 1. This is a shout out to James. James, this was one of his questions where he picked up this issue and really, really liked it. It surprised him. Sadly, I sold out and couldn't get any more. Now, finally, it's coming out. I'm getting it back.
Is it like actual samurai?
I honestly
or?
Have no idea. I never looked at it.
I think that's what the cover is.
My concern was there was an old...
like, I'd really like to read an old samurai type deal, but...
There was one through Soleil. It was a French book, and then Marvel reprinted it, and then this looked like it. So I don't know if this is another reprint of the same thing. That was my thing with it. That's why I didn't pick it up. A couple on this page are a little annoyances for me. Both Sex Criminals, number 15, and Strange Fruit, number 3, I ordered in August and are now finally shipping. Thanks, guys.
It's been less than a year.
Preach. Spider-Woman number 6 is the next part of the Spider-Women storyline. Star Wars 18. Strawberry Shortcake for Adam.
Yeah.
Make sure I... Oh, wait. I'm not getting the special one.
It
That's
doesn't
weird.
Smell, though.
No, there's supposed to be one that was supposed to smell, but I'm not. Don't see that one.
Like
Superman Wonder Woman 28 is the next part of the Super League story. And then the last one is X-Files number 1. A new ongoing. I think they decided to stop calling it Seasons because... When they started doing the seasons officially, they're like, how about we start a new one and just leave it at that?
It's like the third number ones.
Right, because, well, they were doing them, in seasons. So.
Yeah, it's still like
still not as bad as Squirrel Girl.
But.
We're not at the Squirrel Girl level yet. Okay.
No. Squirrel Girl's next week, by
where
way,
every
case
number
you
is number one.
So that's it. That's
where.
You can. You can. I'm sorry.
Where can they find you, Colin?
You can find me here at the store because I never leave, which isn't true actually because Sandy and I are going out of town tomorrow night, so it's going to be kind of fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was.
Where are you going?
Her anniversary present
to
me.
Tell
no.
Wait for the kids.
No. Well, that's the main thing. Her anniversary present to me was a weekend away. Well, this isn't quite that, but. There's a fundraiser that she has something to do with down in, or probably, she does a lot of stuff with the Wheeling Homeless Coalition, and it's probably a fundraiser for them tomorrow night down in Wheeling, and then we're just going to stay overnight at Ogilvy and then come back tomorrow. The one downfall is that we didn't realize that the kids only had half day of school, so instead of being able to come back, you know, casually before the end of school, we had to come back a little earlier.
Just get a family member to come by.
Well, I think her mother-in-law is watching them tomorrow night.
Watch us while they go to her home.
Or her mom, not her mother-in-law.
Then when you get back, they won't be there.
So it's just kind of nice getting out, going away for a night without the kids.
Cool.
Hey. So, but you can find me
here. Sleeping.
Yeah, you can find me probably, to be honest with you. So you find me here at the store or the website, PittsburghComics.com. Find me on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics and at PGH Comics on Twitter, where some really cool stuff kind of happened today. There was a book that...
I think that was a coincidence. It had to have been a coincidence.
Every
they
time,
probably had it on file. It was sitting in front of me.
Maybe.
Like, ha-ha, done.
You think they saw your tweet and you're like,
no!
All right, make it ongoing.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, we haven't talked to the writer or the artist yet.
It's
no,
not.
Well, here's what happened.
They're
so,
like, we don't even have a story.
This morning, waiting for the, you know, well, the getting doing the morning routine. I read that's Wednesday morning is when I read a lot of the books. I read Jackpot Number One, which was a really neat story. I'll talk about more next week.
Joyride.
I'm sorry. And it was really, I really enjoyed it, but it a really neat premise with basically a couple characters is leaving Earth, hijacking a spaceship, just a small spaceship, you know, it's not a huge line or anything, and taking off to explore the universe, because they'd never, in this Earth, there's like a shell around Earth that the government has put there to protect it from any invaders, and the girl feels that they're kind of lying to them.
Like the shell in Spaceballs?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So they go to, and it ends with them basically going off to, you know, see what's out there. And I tweeted as I was waiting for the bus, I said, you know, I was really sad when I looked back at the cover after I read it, and it said 1 of 4. Only because 4 issues doesn't seem enough. You know, there's a lot this could go into. And I just tweeted that, said sad to see 1 of 4 on the cover, and basically that. And just tweeted in 2, boom. And then this afternoon, all of a sudden, phone blings that I got a response from Mel Kahlo at Boom, who's awesome. And it was basically Colin, done. And then with a link to the fact that they just announced that it went ongoing. So. I like to think
I
played a little role in it.
It's cool.
If you had sent the tweet and then like 2 weeks later they tweeted back and said done,
I'd believe
right?
Then I'd be like, that may have had an impact.
Yeah,
I think it just so happened that the day you sent that tweet was also the day that they had a plan to announce.
Well, I'm not trying to, you know, diminish things here. I think it is really cool.
As he sighs.
The cool part to me is that the dude contacted you back directly and was like,
hey, well, I mean, Mel does know, because the best part is he responded with my name back to Pittsburgh Comics, where my name is nowhere on.
You clearly have a strong in with these guys.
But then, so I tweeted back to him and to Sam, who's the head of the retailer relations. Mel's just the marketing guy. Not just, but he's the marketing guy. I said, is this the power of being a Boom innovator? And Sam said, yes. And thank you for your support.
This is why, if there are any budding comic retailers out there, it is important to go to these different events like the Diamond Summit and Schmooze and get to know these people.
These little things. Now, just another aside. Well, Sam helped me out. I had sold a book on eBay, and we could not, for the life of us, find it here in the store. And I contacted him. He sent me a copy that I was able then to send that I had sold.
Disney books. It's like Scrooge or something.
No, it wasn't one of those. It was like not Adventure Time. Maybe it was one of those, The Bravest Warrior. Regular Show or something. One of those. But so now we just had a situation where somehow I did not get, even though I met the requirements, I did not get a variant cover for Joyride by Tula Lote. That I should have gotten, that I ordered, but I just did not get. So this customer wants one, so I may send an email saying, hey, can you help a brother out?
We did you a favor. We made your book ongoing.
But it is invaluable knowing these people. You know, just
and not just them, like you have on several occasions with different publishers been able to reach out and get, you know.
Well, did I tell you? Till you?
What?
Okay. The next Comics Now will include an interview with Valiant.
You said you were trying to get someone with Valiant.
Oh, yeah, I am. I got it. That's why, and I meant to ask him about the box, the count, the
4001 countdown.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a Skype
time capsule.
I
don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be I might just do a Skype, but just record it, and we'll then piece it in later. I don't because he can't call. He's in California, so we normally record at 9:30. He's not getting up at 6:30. I wouldn't ask him to on a Monday.
Is this a creator or a salesperson?
No, it's salesperson. Andy Legal, one of the sales guys.
Speaking of Skype, you should do the $100 tier on Sean Gordon Murphy's Kickstarter right
it
now.
It already all got claimed. I was looking at it. My problem with that, not with that in itself. I thought about it. I really did. I had emailed Jason, who runs Essential Sequential, and just say, was there a retailer tier for that? Because I'd love to get in, you know, because I got in 10 of the Cafe Racers. And they never got back to me. Oh. I'm a little, you know, so I didn't, the only one I could get now would be like the t-shirt one, you know, for like an extra $50 or something. I'm not all that interested in it.
It's an extra $20.
Right, but so it's 50
it's
something 55, for the book.
It's 55, yeah. It's 30, yeah. 35 for the book, 55 for the t-shirt. What's and the book.
Called again?
Under the Hood, because I think.
Let me see if there's anything even left.
I set a reminder for myself today because I want to get the book.
Well, you can't just get the book. That's the
you
problem.
At 35, you can get the book.
Mm-mm. They're all gone. Nope.
No, it's open still.
Nope.
I was just on it today.
Nope. All gone.
Stop fighting!
Real?
Yep.
Oh.
See, the only one is $55 for the t-shirt and the book. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend $55 on a t-shirt and a book.
Why would the book be...
Yep.
That's weird.
Yep. But sadly, yeah, that Skype chat.
It doesn't make sense because they have like stretch goals up to $100,000. So how are they going to keep getting sales without the book?
Yeah, because now there's just the 8,000, and I don't even think there's many. There's 100 for a canvas tier or canvas thing. Oh, maybe there's no limit on the t-shirt and book bundle. But yeah, I was a little disappointed when I looked and saw.
That I feel a little foolish because I was holding off because I wasn't sure if I wanted to get the a different tier or not. And now I wish I'd just done it.
Yeah.
Way to bring me down.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bring
you down. I was thinking
down.
Like, oh, get the $100, get him on the podcast.
Yeah. So that's just why I didn't do anything. And I was kind of hoping to hear back from him saying, hey, you know what? Offside, you know, if you want to get five or ten copies, you can just buy them from us. That's what I was kind of hoping to hear. But no response at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm half tempted to let that one go.
And real quick before we end, when is Free Comic Day for people that
Free
don't
Comic
know?
Day is first Saturday in May, May 7th. It's coming up rapidly. We just got the books in yesterday. Well, most of them. We still have some coming.
Come cry.
I was missing this was a real cluster. And basically missing a box, but there's nothing I can do about it. But they are replacing them. Side note, the overages, we need to pull them out because they're sending a return tag. So they were that science comic that were all bundled together. Yeah, we just need to pull four of those bundled, or 200.
We'll do that.
We've got to pull those out.
That's fair.
Yeah. I looked and they weren't in any of the top boxes. But that's coming up May 7th. It was funny. I had a call. Must have been yesterday, or maybe yesterday or Saturday, but they were wondering, you know, what are we doing? I said, oh, you know, all sorts of stuff. Well, no, what creators are you having there? I'm like, no. No signings or everything. I said there's not enough room. I said that the place is always so packed and so crazy that I have had, like, Chad here before, and we just didn't have the room. And the guy sounded very dejected and, like, you know, well, forget you. I'll go to another store that's having that. I'm like,
if there's any in this area that are having something
go for it.
Like, they get some, you know. I mean, I was people in different stores.
I was seeing one somewhere out in New York. I think it's like Scott Snyder's one, and it's like he's having like 10 people. Justin Jordan, and I'm like, good for you.
But I doubt it's a place.
Right, but like also I don't need the draw. Not that I don't want people coming in, but it seems like you know I don't need to you know bring in some big name person to.
Well,
I'm sure Snyder's.
You did
not
have a person coming in, like Chad would come in, but then we had to put the second register there just to speed up a little bit of the process here and get people out.
So it's still a fun day, I promise. The grill, definitely. We have the grill out, doing hot dogs and pop and cookies and Rita's out. Italian Ice, dollar books, lots of sales.
Will the store be wheelchair accessible?
Maybe no. Probably. Well, they could have gone over there. Yeah. You know, but the
tables
there? Probably not as wheelchair accessible as
just
I am on
the grill over.
If you need help,
I guess we could put the grill over here. But then there's whatever. Also, if you can come up, we have that back area that I can use. I just don't know what to do back
there. That's tough. I was thinking we could put a lot of the
dollar
books.
I mean, we could put the
grill
there, but nobody would know to go back there. That was always the problem.
Well,
we can put the grill on the side.
Take a Hulk. Hot dogs this way.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good point, because you have the little walkway right there.
Yeah. I do. And there's a nice little patio and stuff back there.
You can put some chairs, like these chairs,
yeah,
set them out.
But I just never knew quite what to do with it. Yeah, so if you brainstorm, everybody brainstorm to see. My only concern is just people wouldn't, because the other thing, by having the grill, people driving by, what's going on there? And that is a big draw.
So you definitely want stuff out here, but you could have stuff out here and back there.
Right, but then if there's books and stuff, somebody kind of need to be back there.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Someone can see. You tend to have plenty of extra help.
Yeah, that's true.
William Shakespeare, Star Wars.
So, that's good. Yeah, if you want to come help, mostly it's just pointing people in the right direction or, you know, answering questions, you know, where's this, what's this?
Josh has been our bag.
We can have everything off the wall is free. Just 1 year. I'll take all the help I can get. So with my great appreciation. Thanks. That's about it. We'll definitely be talking about Free Comic Day more. Finally, getting the books made it real. It just hadn't been quite real yet.
Follow Facebook and Twitter and the website for details on the specifics. Get there.
I know.
That's podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.